One, two, three! Oh! Here he goes! Oh!
Oh! If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
Hey, ladies and gents, way in the back of the house. Come on over here. It's me, Lightning, from the world famous K-Rock. I want to say thank you very much for coming out to Longshot Sports Bar here in Hollywood Park. Bring all your friends out. Bring your dollar beers. Bring your hot dogs. Whatever you're going to do, munch. Get a good spot right here. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together. Give it up for Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Hey, remember that time Lightning shut up? Oh, wait, that never happened.
That is classic.
First, you're a slob. You dress like a bum. Second, you're unmotivated. You have no self-esteem, no thought about the future. You're inconsiderate, you're insensitive, you're insincere, and you're irresponsible. A show-off. You're vulgar. You're inappropriate. You're unrefined. You're obnoxious.
And now,
my name is Lightning, and girls are icky.
Our feature presentation.
Quarterback for the Giants there. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock at 531, and it's Wednesday the 5th of March. Bow, bow.
I want to go out.
All right, tell the truth. Do you forget Eli Manning's name?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought.
I don't think there's much of a discussion on that.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
That's okay.
So I'm at the Linkin Park show last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how was that?
It was great. And Coheed and Cambria played before. That guy has the best hair in rock, by the way. Just got a bushy, it's just like a bush of hair. And his head is someplace deep inside. You can't tell where.
Fantastic. Is it a giant? I haven't seen Coheed in a while. Is it a giant white man afro? Is that what we're talking about?
It's kind of like a white man afro that fell.
That won't stay up, right?
Oh, okay. It's way like big. A Mars Volta haircut,
yes,
kind of.
Yes. No, not like Mars Volta. Because
like a wolf mother haircut?
No. Like Rosanna Santadana.
Anyone this century.
Oh, yeah.
Someone I've heard of.
No, it's really curly. It's hard to describe. It's not like dreads, but it's like super, super curly hair that... I don't know how to describe it, dude. You just got to look at a picture of him recently.
I will.
But
I'll look him up. I like some of their songs a lot, but I've never seen them live.
It's like if you teased Hurley's hair from Lost a little more.
Yes, like, and it was a little longer.
It's almost exactly like Hurley's hair, but just like perm it a little more.
And there are times when he would put the microphone up to the ball of hair and somehow sing through it. I'm not sure how, but it would get
I
through.
Heard ball of hair was opening for Coheed and Cambria. Is that true?
But I just wanted to give two shout-outs from the show last night. I did the onstage. I said, hey, everybody, welcome. I went and sat down. Mm-hmm. And a guy sitting, I don't know, in the next section over, stood up and went, hey, Kevin, you're better than Bean. And I don't know how to respond to that, so I said, thanks. And then a guy behind me said, no, you're not.
So it was like it was like Clinton and Obama there.
Yeah.
He was casting their vote. It was a dead heat.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah, it was kind of ugly.
He was on top of the mountain, and he was plunged into the valley.
Dude. Why do you got to bring me down like that?
What was the deal with Linkin Park? I know they canceled their shows over the weekend. Was somebody sick, and how was it last night? I mean, was everybody back to form?
Chester's having a lot of throat trouble,
right?
As you can imagine. And they did have to cancel a couple of shows, and apparently last night it was like razor blades.
Oh.
But,
meaning it hurt him to sing.
Yeah. But he did it anyway. I don't know, you know, going on in the future if he's going to have to cancel more or what. But, you know, there's a doctor there, and they're telling him not to sing, and he decides to sing every once in a while. But, you know, life on the road, you're not getting enough sleep, not enough rest, not resting your vocal cords enough. It can be brutal.
Yeah.
But he was good. He was there, and he was good. So,
excellent.
I was happy about that because we would have had a riot if not.
Yeah.
Well, you missed American Idol last night, of course.
Oh, wait, I don't watch that.
I've rarely hated a contestant as much as I hate little Danny Noriega. And I know Ralph is going to come in here in a minute and he's going to defend him. This is Jessica Alba, who's on the show.
Oh,
okay?
Sure. Yeah.
He's a guy who looks exactly like Jessica Alba. except obviously without the boobs because he's a tiny, skinny little guy. And last night, I just hate him so much. And my wife loves him, by the way, as I assume all women and gay men do, because he's just one of those kinds of people that they just love hanging out, and he just rubs the rest of us really the wrong way.
Sure.
You really hetero but, guys, you mean?
You know, yes, guys. Super macho guys. Sure.
Yeah, sure.
So last night, they have a clip before each contestant sings, and they always have a question every week. And last night was, what was your most embarrassing moment? So he's telling a story, and it was so exceptional. And I think you'll see why he's so endearing to me and to America that I brought it in. This is okay. Little Danny Noriega, who looks just like Jessica Alba, talking about his most embarrassing moment on last night's American Idol, the number one show in the history of television.
Up next, are you ready for Danny Noriega?
My most embarrassing moment would have to be when my friend tripped me on these huge stairs in the movies. Like, I was walking down, and, like, she tripped me, and I fell. And, like, I fell in front of one of my crushes, and I turned as red as a cute little tomato. And then I ran. That was TMTH.
That was what?
Well, it was TMTH, Kevin. It was too much to handle.
Oh, Lord.
Is what it was.
Oh, I hate him, too.
Did he say he turned into a cute little
cute
tomato?
Little red tomato. Yes, he certainly did.
Because
he tripped at the movie theater in front of one of his crushes. Didn't say what his crush's name was, who that dude was,
nope.
But still.
I got hung up on he was with a girl. His friend.
It's so TMTH.
Yeah, that's true.
Is this, Mike, you're on the playground. You're teaching, you know, coaching Little League. Is this the new thing to speak, the text speak? Is that what
not
people do? Do people now say LOL and things like that out loud?
Not little kids with penises.
I think he's a homosexual.
Yeah, well, sure I don't know if he is like or not, but he sure has big pink full lips and beautiful silky smooth skin, I'll tell you that.
Wow, sounds like someone's attracted to him.
TMTH is what he told us last night.
That's obnoxious.
Anyway, here's a little bit of a song in case you're wondering if he can sing. I don't know what you think about this, but he did. It was 80s night last night, so he came out with the soft sell.
Sometimes I feel I've got to run away. I've got to get away from the pain you drive.
I mean, I've heard worse singers, but he's not exceptional enough that he makes me want to put up with the rest of his BS that he has going on.
It was a pretty cool song, don't you think? Kind of a up-tempo, positive song.
Yeah. Thank you, Rodney.
Well, anyway, that's little Danny Noriega. So while you were off with Coheed and Cambria last night, I was enjoying Danny.
I win.
I think you do.
This time you win.
And by the way, there's no question about that guy's sexuality.
You're so
gay. I just hate to assume, that's all. Because he could just be super effeminate, you know? I don't know.
Did he say cute little tomato?
Yeah.
He did.
All right.
cute little red tomato.
That that to me says gay.
Anyway, I got a song coming up.
Huh. What?
Anyway, I got a song coming up that you might have heard on a TV commercial.
It's on American Idol.
I used to hang out with them at Canner's with Kelly. Kelly Ogden at Canner's, and now they're doing TV commercials featured in the Kohl's commercial. You check that out. It's been on TV a lot. You can see different girl groups playing that song with Kelly in the audience, and Kelly's up there singing with the Dolly Rots, and it's on TV. You could see that on television.
Okay.
It's on TV, and I can see it on television?
Yeah, both. That's
good
right.
to know.
Both. That's right. Speaking of tiny, effeminate men.
Yeah.
But he's not effeminate as much as he is. He's effeminate. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
South Pasadena is having no cussing week.
Yeah. All right.
No effing way.
No cussing week. This was the brainchild of a 14-year-old boy that rides around on a unicycle.
That's where most good ideas come from.
Yep. And I'd just like to say...
He's a fag!
Oh!
Come on. That's not what I meant to say. Anyway, we're going to talk to the mayor. The mayor of South Pasadena. No, the mayor of South Pasadena, not Los Angeles. And ask him about No Cussing Week and how that's the best idea ever. Because apparently if you don't cuss, then you'll also say no to drugs. That's what I hear.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, if you were one who's adopted No Cussing Week... Mm-hmm. You'd probably be one who would say no to drugs anyway, right?
No. This leads to it. This leads people to get off and to not try drugs.
Okay.
It's a logical next step.
Like, say, band packs all lives in South Pasadena.
Yeah, that's so good.
The no drugs policy, not really taking effect.
Not going to work there.
Yeah. Hey.
Also, we're going to talk to somebody from Ex-Kids of Scientology.
This is fascinating.
It is fascinating. And it's, of course, they were kids of people that are high up in the church. And they have stories.
Yeah, can't wait.
They have stories.
Wonder what their relationships are like with their parents now.
I'm guessing not good.
Probably big thumbs up. If I know anything about Scientologists, it's that they tolerate people who talk negatively about them. Yes. So that's good. We also have penis injuries in the 6 o'clock hour.
Of course we do.
I don't know if you were listening yesterday, we had a call in What a Do Nephew, and a dude said that he worked in as an EMT, and a guy had a 5-pound weight stuck to his penis, and he had to have it removed.
Well, do you see what's been going on in Dr. Moe's emergency room?
No.
Did you read his email?
No, I did not.
Dr. Moe's got, you know, every time we talk to him, he's got new stories on any topic we want. But he'll talk about a guy who used lye as a lubricant on his penis.
What?
For instance.
No!
Yes.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, that's one of the stories he has. And a guy who had an industrial grade titanium steel ring that was stuck on it that the doctor had to wear a welder's visor while the fireman was trying to cut the ring off the guy's body.
Oh, my God. Think of the weight.
What could go wrong there?
Cut a weight off of somebody. What would that take?
Yeah, it apparently lots of bad things happen to your penis.
Wow.
And you know, Dr. God made Moe's a mistake giving men penises. They clearly...
We try. I mean, we do this topic...
I'm just so immature.
We do this topic probably more than any other. We try to say, look, don't do this.
Don't do it. Right. You pretty much know ahead of time whether there's a chance of something going horribly wrong if you're using your junk. And if you think there's a chance things can go wrong, just don't do it. There's a safer way. There's got to be an alternative that can't hurt.
Seems like good advice.
Yeah. Also, thanks for that info, Bean, coming just after the top of the hour.
Oh, excellent. Come on.
Very excited about that. Chance to expose Bean's Asperger's to the world. And we have a very talented new artist who's going to be in the studio with us. He's got a solo drum show. He also works in some jokes. He's part-time comedian, and he does numerology all at the same time.
How dare you promote it as if it's going to be
so
good?
So that's what are you talking about?
Come on. We know who you're talking about. Just because you don't say his name doesn't mean we can't put the pieces together.
He does a drum solo with numerology.
And yet not an artist.
And yet not talented.
And yet.
Wow. Why, how are you guys going to hate like that?
Awful. And yet not a comedian.
The only thing he is Armenian. That's it.
And
he's
annoying.
None of the other things.
He's Armenian and annoying.
I'm not even sure he's Armenian, by the way. You should check. Anyway, that's coming up later this morning. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat next.
We're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. I don't even
Hello?
Have my mic on.
Why don't you turn your own microphone on?
My mic is on. Why isn't your mic on?
See the orange mic right there?
Yeah.
The one that no one's behind?
You're not talking into
this
it.
This is not.
I'm not talking.
You're not.
Check.
What
there
are you
we
guys
go.
Doing?
Okay, now I can hear
there.
Ralph.
Okay, there.
And now
there.
There's Kevin.
Kevin controls the microphones and yet did not turn his own on before speaking.
That's correct.
He also frequently, especially lately, Ralph, turns his own off while he's
before
speaking.
He's done talking.
Yeah. I know that's what the listeners would do if they could, but it strikes me as weird that Kevin does it.
I don't think my hands like what I say. I think they just want to get me right off the air.
Wow.
I don't know
what that's all about.
The rest of your body starting to revolt against your mouth.
Oh, what? How come with the
Kevin and Bean Show 550 Wednesday morning? What's this all about, Ralph?
Yeah, I know you guys are having a good time and yucking it up. Ooh, Kevin's dopey. Ha, ha, ha. But it's a tragic day.
What?
Is it TMTH?
It is TMTH.
All right.
Come on, you're with me on Danny Noriega. He must die, right, Ralph?
I can barely H it. That's how TMTH it is.
Okay, what is it, dude?
I just want to give some consolation to my fellow nerds out there, my fellow geeks. But Gary Gygax.
Not Gary Gygax.
What?
Or Gary Gygax or Gary Gygax.
How would those of us who aren't nerds know this person?
You would know him as one of the co-creators of Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh,
no. Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
One of the founders of the role-playing game has passed away at the age of 69.
By the way, that was something important.
That's closest that Gary ever got to a 69 in his life, by the way. Dungeons & Dragons, of course, the legendary role-playing game that became fans with guys who were the victims of persistent wedgies everywhere in every school that you ever went to, has passed away.
We better call Roland and make sure he's okay.
Oh, he's not picking up the phone. Are you kidding me?
Really?
He and Daniel are just weeping?
No way. He's going to be down for like a week.
Oh, that's sad.
Apparently, Gary was named number one on the list of the 50 biggest nerds of all time by Sync Magazine.
How about that?
2004.
Congratulations.
Congratulations to Gary. Gygax, or Jijax, depending on how you pronounce those G's.
I guarantee at age 14, he rode a unicycle.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
No question.
No cussing. He had a couple strokes in 2004.
I'm sorry, you still talking about him?
Was living in semi-retirement in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, outside Milwaukee when he passed away.
Mm.
So our heart goes out to the Gygax family.
No.
Ralph, you played Dungeons & Dragons, I bet, as
you never did.
Really?
Yeah. I was a sci-fi comic book nerd, but I was not a role-playing AV club nerd.
How old is that game? When did...
Good question, Lisa. The game was originated in 1967.
Wow.
If you could give me...
I didn't know that.
What? Now what are you doing?
Kevin needs to
Are you just randomly
stop.
Playing half a drop?
I'm sorry, Lisa. I correct myself. Gary started the International Federation of War Gamers in 1967.
I'll tell you what I'm not doing. Given facts about Dungeons & Dragons is what I'm not doing.
20 people... In his basement of his house, he started playing role-playing games with. He created his own role-playing game, Dungeons & Dragons, in 1974.
Okay.
Gary was a big fan of the Middle Ages and designed the original Dungeons & Dragons game with its medieval sorcerers, clerics, and warriors with another man named David Arneson.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gary, gone.
Bad.
69.
Next story.
You're the man, Ralph.
Thank you, sir.
Next story.
Big news yesterday here in Los Angeles in the Superior Court. A judge ruled that Anna Nicole Smith's daughter, Daniel Lynn, was her sole heir and could legally inherit any fortune that she ends up with in the courts.
Anna?
Does that mean that he gets it away from Howard K. She gets it away from Howard K. Stern?
She will be set up with a trust fund should any monies come through from the Howard Marshall lawsuit where they say... You know, her lawyers say she's still due $1.6 billion. The trust fund will be set up for Daniel Lynn, and Larry Burkhead and Howard K. Stern will both act as custodians of that trust fund.
What a lucky child to have those two.
Wow. Really?
She'll be executors.
Okay.
So, excellent.
Look, maybe...
Is Anna Nicole Smith still dead, Wolf?
Yes.
Maybe Larry will at least keep some of the kids' interests at heart, because it is his daughter.
Yeah.
Versus Howard K. Stern, who would just rape and pillage the trust fund if he could.
Yeah.
So, wait and see. Speaking of money-grubbing whores, Heather Mills is getting quite the reputation for being a gold digger, of course, in the
really?
Wake of her divorce from Paul McCartney. And her father now agrees.
Her father?
Mark Mills. Told the New York Post that his daughter is greedy.
Wow.
Really?
And just needs to take the multi-millions the former Beatle has offered and be done with it.
No kidding.
Is he getting beaten up in the neighborhood? Is that what's happening here? When he goes to the store, he gets beat up because of his daughter?
Your freaking limping daughter's horrible! She's trying to steal from a Beatle!
Wow.
He's had enough of her shenanigans.
Her own dad.
And her tomfoolery, quite frankly.
Both.
Yes, both of those. Matthew Fox sounds like the kind of guy you want to hang out with.
Sure.
He told Empire Magazine, which is sort of the British version of Premiere Magazine. It's a big movie magazine over there.
Mm-hmm.
Did an interview with them and said that he loves to have a good time, is constantly skinny dipping since he's moved to Hawaii to film Lost, and said that on a trip to Jamaica 15 years ago with his wife, they smoked pot straight for 3 days and got so sick they had to stop for a day, and then they went back and started smoking some more.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Good times, Matty F.
How about
wife.
That?
Yeah. So apparently he's not the hard-boiled doctor that he portrays on television. Because, you know, Jack's not lighting up.
No.
He's too tense. He could use it. Yeah,
Jack could use some weed more than anyone.
Nice good bong rip.
Yep.
Straighten him right out. Finally, E! Has announced that Dina Lohan's new reality show will debut this summer.
Oh, right. No.
Is that Lindsay Lohan's mom?
Lindsay Lohan's mom. Allie's mom as well, and Cody and Michael. Do you know there's four kids in the Lohan family?
No.
It will focus on her being a single mom and managing her kids' careers.
How many kids have careers?
All of them.
All of them?
Lindsay's sister, Allie, is 14. She wants to be a recording star and TV star. She was the one who said she wants fame so bad, bad you can't, you don't have no idea how bad I want to be famous.
Yes. And the younger ones, too?
11-year-old Cody, Lindsay's little brother, is also an actor. And 20-year-old Michael Lohan, also an actor.
Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, for God's sake.
Livin' Lohan is the name of the show.
Really?
Thank you, E.
Really? Are we down to that?
Thank you, E, for Livin' Lohan.
Livin' Lohan!
That was TMTH.
I'm afraid for this Allie.
Yeah.
I fear for her.
Hot.
She's hot, but she's going
that
down.
That doesn't help.
She's going down the path.
Actually.
Yeah.
Going down the bad path.
Actually, that's
going
to come back to haunt her if she ends up being attractive like Lindsay.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin, apparently not everyone shares your views about the royal family.
Yeah.
Numbers are in for ABC's 2020 on Monday night that featured the royal family.
Yeah.
Huge numbers. Crushed the competition.
No kidding.
Biggest ratings for 2020 on ABC since they interviewed Michael Jackson 5 years ago. Remember that Martin Bashir?
Sure.
Martin Bashir interview? Michael in the tree thinking? That was the last time they had numbers this size.
Oh, my God.
5 years ago.
That is surprising. I looked forward to the special and watched it, and I'm still surprised to hear how well it did.
America loves the royals.
Bean forced me to watch it. He said, you will watch it, and you will turn around your view on the Queen. I watched it for about 20 minutes, and it was just death.
Once they started showing me how they made the Queen's cocktail,
yes,
I was like, F you.
And that was early in the process.
I used two ice cubes and put them in glass. I put them in last with a slice of lemon underneath it, and only the Queen herself drinks this particular kind of gin.
Are you effing kidding me?
He's not exaggerating.
This is on television?
Oh, I wanted to kill myself.
All this stuff that you can talk about with that family, they're talking about how to make her special cocktail.
Yep.
Well, I said this yesterday, too, is there was a little bit too much behind the scenes on how the support personnel kept the palace running. That's not the part I was really interested in.
On Tuesdays, I like to dust around the royal palace, and I take a feather duster sometimes, and replace a little chamois. And then I go to the furniture, and this piece here, I wax this after I dust it, and then I dust it again.
That's
like the old butler's talking to me. It's all I need.
That's 100 times the excitement of Prince Charles, too.
And the ratings were bonkers.
Monsters.
For it, huh?
Monsters.
Yeah. Well, there's no accounting for taste.
It was funny to see Prince Charles going, yeah, it's nice for people to see us every once in a while. I realize we're not aliens.
Yeah.
But they are. Today's, before I get to celebrity birthdays, congratulations to Jeri Ryan.
Right.
Yes.
I like Jeri Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Me too, very much.
She's over there on Shark, that show with James Woods, which I enjoy enormously. She's a new mommy.
Oh, okay.
She and her husband, Christopher Emmy, he's a big celebrity chef, welcomed their first child together into the world on Sunday, a little girl named Giselle.
Oh, that's nice.
So, congratulations to you.
You remember the crazy marriage she got out of, right, Ralph?
Yeah, the
sexpot
congressman who used to take her to sex clubs and make her bang other guys while he watched.
Forced her against her will to bang other guys while he watched.
Really?
Yeah.
That's why I did the swinger thing, Kevin, because Jeri Ryan would come in the room every once in a while.
How many times did you run into Jeri Ryan?
7 of 9. You're a Borg. Let me assimilate you. Ooh,
ooh. God.
Ralph waited for that his whole life.
Yeah,
hi, Ralph. I'm ready.
Resistance, no, not you.
Resistance was futile.
I guess if you go to enough swingers clubs, eventually one day you might get lucky enough that she would walk in, but the chances seem pretty low.
Well, it's stick-to-itiveness. Yeah. That's what gets you there.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Jake Lloyd. The name may not be familiar to you, but he was little Anakin Skywalker in Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace.
Sure.
Almost single-handedly brought down the entire franchise. Kid's spectacularly bad. Horrible.
Yeah.
He's 19 years old now. Is that possible that many years have passed since the first Star Wars movie came out?
He was still better than Hayden Christensen in those movies.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Anakin Skywalker grew up from a bad actor to just a reasonably bad actor as he got older, the character.
Wait.
Yes. He was Psycho Mike.
He was the little boy in the first Star Wars?
He was little Anakin Skywalker in Phantom Menace.
Oh, okay.
Not in the first one. In the...
Well, the first one.
The first one.
The first
which
one
was
in the storyline, but not chronologically.
I got
the first
I'm sorry,
one.
I thought you meant the very first. I was like, that doesn't make sense.
I don't even remember a little boy being in the first Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
There was, but for very, very small amounts. But I'm sorry. I apologize. I was saying that didn't make sense mathematically.
Well, I'm glad you stopped us all to talk about it.
I apologize.
Because you're the only one who didn't follow the chronology of what Ralph was talking about.
Model Nikki Taylor's 33 years old today. Oh. She's pretty. Actor Kevin Connolly from Entourage celebrates his 34th birthday. Guitarist John Frusciante of the Red Hot Chili Peppers is 38 years old today.
What's I like birthdays! I eat cake!
What John said this morning. Comedian, magician, Penn Jillette, who will soon be Dancing with the Stars.
Yes, he will.
Is 53 years old today. And singer Eddie Grant, one of my favorites. He used to walk down Electric Avenue. Remember Eddie Grant?
I hear that story. Yeah.
Down to Electric Avenue. And then we'll take it higher. Oh, we're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue. And then we'll take it higher.
You could smell the weed coming off that guy when you'd watch his videos.
Yeah.
Eddie. He liked to toke.
You can smell it when we play that song.
I know. It's good, isn't it? He is 60 years old today. He doesn't really walk down Electric Avenue so much as he does hobble.
He wheels down it.
Yes. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Maybe Psycho Mike's the guy to ask this question of, but how do you end up doing something that's going to hurt your penis? What's the mindset? Just extreme horniness? You must figure out some way to relieve that itch?
Well, yesterday we took a call in What a Do Nephew, and there was a dude that was an EMT that said that he had to take a guy to the hospital because he had a 5-pound weight stuck on his penis.
So yeah. Would that be like a barbell thing?
Barbell plate, yeah.
Barbell plate.
I would imagine. Now, I was
Why
thinking...
Why would you ever put...
I don't know. I was thinking he was doing... He was trying to see if he could do it or
like
something
lift it. Yeah.
Dumb like that. But, Mike, you were suggesting it was some type of sex act.
I just think that there's... I know that that's the way it is for me. That part of it is you're horny and you just have to put your penis in something. But a lot of it is curiosity, and if I'm going to try something out, I want to try it out with my penis, too. I don't know why. Like,
but don't you have that little voice in the back of your head that says, no matter how remote the chances, this could go horribly awry, and it could be very painful?
Being if Christopher Columbus said that, where would we be now?
Good point. Good point.
You know
be living
saying?
In Italy, I guess,
exactly.
Which wouldn't be all that bad.
I look at things, and I'm like, if I could do that with my hands.
But that guy had to go to the hospital and tell them, listen, I was having sex with a 5-pound weight, and it didn't go well.
I don't think he was. I think he was probably lifting weights or sitting in his room where he had that weight plate, and he saw the hole, the size of the hole, and he's like, looks about right, about the right size. And he just did it. And the next thing you knew, he got a boner, and the cut off the restriction passed that point of the plate, and you're in trouble.
Well, look, there was another guy in the news just this week who had to go to the emergency room because he had a mishap with his vacuum cleaners in Portland, Oregon. He tried to convince the emergency room that he fell into it, but then it got stuck, and he couldn't get it out.
It was one of those vacuum cleaners, too, that has the face painted on it, and the hose is the nose.
Oh, good.
You know, those newer ones they call, like, the Henry?
They need new warnings for vacuum cleaners.
Listen, people, just so you know, no one buys the I fell into it.
No one.
I mean, you might say that with every part of your being. Nobody buys it. Even if it's true, no one believes it.
That dude was at work, too.
Yeah.
We are going to take your calls, as we do a couple of times a year, about penis injuries. 1-800-520-1067 is the toll-free number. We want to hear what you tried, what you were thinking, and how it worked out, particularly if you ended up in the hospital.
How
and
it
if
worked
you did,
out.
If you did end up in the hospital, there's a good chance you've already met our next guest. We are always happy to welcome Dr. Mo back to the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the chief of surgery down at the, what's this hospital called again, Dr. Mo?
Little Company Mary San Pedro.
Little Company of Mary San Pedro, which doesn't even sound like a real hospital, but you guys do good work down there. And Dr. Mo, this is a topic you're intimately familiar with, am I right?
Yeah, isn't that sad?
Yes, it's kind of shocking.
We try to, and that's why we take these calls and we tell people, stop it. What?
Yeah, there is no limit to the stupidity of the Y chromosome, I tell people. We are not that good of a gender.
How often do you deal with a penis injury? I mean, is it a once a year thing, a once a month thing, a once a week? What's the average?
Well, I see, being a trauma surgeon, I see one about once a year. The funny thing was, is Alex gave me a buzz yesterday, and an hour later, I got a call from a urologist saying that some guy just shot himself through it.
Shot himself with a gun?
Yeah, my guess is, although I got the excuse that, oh, you know, somebody shot me, I think this was a wannabe gangbanger who had a gun in his pocket.
Oh, okay. and it went off without him knowing it.
Well, I think he tried to reach in and like pull it out real fast and be all like gangster, and boom, it went off.
Wow. Yeah, he knew when it went off, Kevin.
Oh yeah,
you're not so cool when it shoots your junk. Now, tell me about the occasion that found you in the operating room wearing a welder's visor, Doc.
Oh, that was hilarious. And okay, now is this sort of goes along with what Psycho Mike was saying? Got this guy who's a piercing enthusiast, and so for some reason he thought it would be really cool to stick his junk through an industrial-grade titanium steel ring.
Oh, no.
Well, yeah, but apparently if you're real tricky, you try to pull the scrotum through, too.
Oh, no!
What?
No!
Yeah, there's like a name for it, too.
Yeah, that, dumb.
We have better ones, but that's okay. Well, unfortunately, the balls got... they sort of got congested, I guess, and it cut off the circulation. Basically, what happens is blood can go in, but it can't go out.
Yes.
So when he arrived, it looked like pretty much a giant flesh cantaloupe and a big blue deli-style pickle on top.
Nuts.
Huge. Dude. I mean, it was so big it started to split. So
Oh, my God.
How long had he waited before he came to the hospital?
At least 2 days.
Oh, no.
2 days? You know, he was desperate to not go to the hospital and show people, I imagine.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, and so the thing was, the ring was about 3/4 inch thick. So they call me because the ER doctors don't know what to do with that. So I'm down there, and I'm looking at it. So I call the maintenance guy in the hospital, and we pull out a hacksaw. And the titanium just dulled the hacksaw. I mean, it didn't touch anything. So we ended up calling the Urban Rescue Unit of Los Angeles, and I had to put one of those welder's visors on and like an X-ray lead jacket, and we had to grab, you know, the rubber stuff that goes along the bottom of the carpet runners?
Yeah.
I had to cut a piece of that off, lube it up, and stick it between the ring and his stuff.
Right.
Then they brought out this giant, like, saw that, and I had to get the welder's hat, pull everything away, and then this fireman went down with the saw trying to cut through this ring, like they're trying to break him out of some sort of like car crash, like the Jaws of Life.
Right. Yeah.
Now there's sparks everywhere, and it starts heating up the ring, so now I have to throw water on the ring, so this guy's like nuts are boiling, and there's smoke going everywhere, and there's sparks going everywhere, and I'm holding a welder's hat, and I'm like, why did I go to medical school for this?
You signed up for it.
Was the guy screaming?
Well, I will tell you, we didn't think that it would heat up the ring so bad, so yeah, that first like... burn was kind of loud, but
how was work today, honey? I don't have time to even begin to tell you what happened.
Dr. Mo, how long did it take to get the ring off?
It was a good 45 minutes of steaming and burning.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
I would have looked at him partway through and said, nothing we can do. Sorry, dude.
Losing it all.
Go on home.
Yeah.
All right. Dr. Mo is on the line. We're talking about penis injuries. We're going to get to your calls in just a minute. Tell us real quick about some of the things that people use for lubricants that maybe are not wise choices.
Well, yeah, a guy came in with what looked like this chemical burn on the shaft of the penis.
Yeah.
It was about the size of your arm and about as long as a Coke can. It was just huge and inflamed. And so we're trying to ask what happened.
That sounds about normal to me. What are you talking about?
You're a lucky man. So so he said that he was, you know, with his partner, a female, and they were using some sort of lubricant and it started getting hot. So he was concerned and he came to the emergency room. And this was actually in a burn unit in Arizona where I did my residency. So we're out there, and now we're waiting for the woman to come in. Because if this guy used some sort of chemical that was some sort of caustic agent, we're waiting. So we have to put him in the hospital, but no woman shows up. And no woman shows up. 3 days later, I go in there. I'm like, dude, okay, what's the real story? Well, he said he was using this all-over gel that he found in the cabinet or whatever, and he was using that, and he started helping himself, and it got real hot. Well, it ended up, we had somebody go get the all-over gel, and it's all-over hair straightening gel, so it has lye in it.
Oh, no.
So this is like on House, where he sends the doctors over to the patient's home to find out what the real story is. The stuff that they won't tell you is what you find at their house.
Yeah, we had the guy bring the stuff in. And to make matters worse, you have to debride the skin. You have to take the skin off. And so he wouldn't let anybody touch it. So we had to teach him with the scalpel how to peel the skin off.
Oh, this is so painful, this conversation.
Wow.
All right, I'm out, dude. I'm out. I can't take your life right now. I'm out.
Dr. Moe, how do you do it? How do you get, how do you have, where do you find the strength to get up in the morning and head back in for more of that?
I just need to get more stuff to talk to you guys.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I guess. All right, Dr. Mo is the chief of surgery at the Little Company of Mary San Pedro in Long Beach. Always a pleasure to have you on.
San Pedro.
Well,
that's what he said.
That's what I said.
And not in Long Beach, it's in San Pedro.
Oh, he said Long Beach, okay.
Oh, well, the address says Long Beach right on the thing there. All right.
There you go.
My apologies. Thanks, Dr. Mo. We enjoyed talking to you, dude.
You guys are the best. Talk to you later.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye.
See you later. Well, we're not going to ask you to top that because it can't be done. But we do want to hear your personal stories of penis injuries.
Before we take these phone calls, maybe we need...
I have to warn you, some of this is clearly inappropriate for young viewers. Please ask your children to leave the room.
All right.
That's a good idea.
Or your parents leave the room, either way.
I got to tell you that there are plenty of things that I can think to do with my penis that are not going to hurt. So I don't know how you end up doing so many things that do. But those are the calls we're taking at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with line one? Jalal is in Azusa. He is also an EMT, and he's got a story to add to the horrors that Dr. Mo was just telling us about a few minutes ago. Jalal, good morning. Welcome.
Hey, what's up, Kevin Beanley?
Hello.
What'd you see?
Basically called, I worked for like a private company at the time, so I didn't normally respond to calls like that. So we respond to a call that just said, penis pain. That's all it really said.
Penis pain.
Yeah. So we get there and, turns out this guy, it was actually at Cal Poly Pomona on campus there. He was a student. He got a little adventurous or something and decided that he had found a copper coupling, like for plumbing to connect two pipes.
Right.
He didn't give himself much credit, though. It was only about 3/4 inch in diameter.
And, he misjudged the opening.
Yes, I don't know what it was, but, you know, he got happy, and it swelled up, and he couldn't get it off, so he freaked out. But by the time we got there, it was pretty much like top half of his junk looked like an eggplant.
Oh, so no, dude.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. So
just for the record, if a guy does that, it can't go back down? You're stuck there until you get medical help?
You know, it's kind of like one way in, one way out for the blood. So once it's in there, and
wow,
you gotta pretty much get it cut off.
So that's what you did. You had to cut the thing off.
You had to cut his penis off.
The thing off.
Yeah. We took him to the ER, and I didn't really stick around to see much of the aftermath of it. I kind of wanted to get the hell out of there, but
yeah.
I'm assuming they just cut the ring off.
Hey, Jalal, I've got a question for you since you're an EMT and you get calls about all sorts of crazy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Are there women who try dumb things and end up with vagina injuries too, or is it almost exclusively just a dude thing?
You know, they do. It just doesn't seem as often in my experience. You know?
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
I get more of these stuff stuck in the butt from a dude than seeing
sure.
Girls.
Well, believe me, we're saving that for another day, man.
That is another day. Thank you, Jalal, for the call.
Wow. Because, I mean, I can see there are plenty of ways that you could hurt yourself if you're a girl, too, you know, by making a poor choice as to what to try.
But they don't, the girls don't seem as, they're as dumb as guys when it comes to that.
Yeah, no, I don't think we're as fascinated with our genitalia as you all are. That's part of it. Like, we're just not down there as much as you are to begin
with.
Well,
you should be.
Yeah.
Women probably
We wouldn't have
lose...
to if you would.
We probably lose things more than get things stuck.
Yeah, true. And again, that's for another day. Let's go to Mike in Santa Clarita. Good morning, Mike.
Morning, guys.
So your cover story is that you were surfing, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. It's no cover story. Basically, keep it short, I slipped off the board. It went straight up the middle. Surfed for a few minutes. I kept surfing for about a half hour. And when I got out of the water, tried to take my wetsuit off. The sensitivity was unreal. And ended up, by that night, swelling up to about the size of a small grapefruit.
Nice.
This wasn't the penis. It was actually his little neighbors there. But they swelled up. And turned black and continued to hurt like I just got kicked in the balls
for
2 weeks.
That's what I like about surfers, though. I can go another half hour.
The waves are good.
I'm good. I'm not going to be out here for a while. I think I'll stay out.
Resulted in 7 weeks out of work and surgery to remove 36 blood clots.
Oh, God. Man, that's good times.
The following program contains adult language and subject matter. Yeah. Viewer discretion advised.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you for that. Let's go to line four. Keith, I love Keith's story because of who had to save him. Keith and Glendora, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Lisa Mary? How you doing, guys?
I'm good.
Good, what happened?
When I was about 10, went to the bathroom and was in a hurry, went to zip up, got about half of it stuck up in the zipper. You come running out of the living room screaming for my mom, and pretty much it was a 1, 2, 3, here we go, and she just...
Oh, man.
That didn't feel too good.
Well, I didn't know you were 10. That story would have been much worse if you were 20, but still, having your mom have to remove your thing from your zipper is no fun. That's
not
for sure.
One I'll never forget.
Yeah. Your mom won't either, by the way.
No, she would.
Thank you for the call. His mom's like, where did we go wrong? But what's the problem?
How many guys are listening right now that are crossing their legs and holding them tight as they hear these stories?
All of
very, very painful.
Let's go to Jordan in Orange. Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, Jordan.
What happened to yours?
I had a staph infection caused by too much masturbating.
Wow. Seriously?
Really? I never heard of that before.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What, the infection was in your penis?
It was. It covered, by the time I made it to the doctor, it had covered about 90% of my penis and the physical region.
You're a masturbating Olympian.
How do you, I can't believe I'm going to ask this question because I don't really want an answer. I don't really want too many details, but how do you get a staph infection from just touching yourself too much?
Well, it was after I just learned about masturbating, so I did it a whole lot, and I ended up getting a little cut on there.
Oh, ouch.
I had dirty hands one day, and...
Okay, now that answers the question. All right.
Man. Wow.
How much did it take to get to that? I mean, was it 100 times? Was it 50 times? What was it?
I was literally probably doing it maybe... 8 times a day.
It was like 8 hours straight.
Seriously?
Mike, this is your hero.
This is a good guy.
I was like walking through the halls of my high school and people would look like I, you know, came out of the dump.
Yeah. Wow.
That's fantastic. I got you. Okay. All right. That's a great story.
That's good right there.
So don't do that.
Don't do that is what we're saying. One more because we got to get to Kurt. This sounds really bad. Kurt in Foothill Ranch.
Good morning, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Kurt.
What'd you do, dude?
I was woodworking, and I had a table saw with doing a cut that I shouldn't have, and it kicked right back into my groin. Cut the top half, but it knocked me out. And so when I woke up, I was on the floor. And so probably about an hour and a half, 2 hours later, when I finally went home, I was still pale white. And my brother just like, what the hell happened to you?
Yeah.
That wasn't
so
good.
You cut it with a wood chipper?
Well, no, with a piece of wood and running
piece
into
wood,
a table
okay.
saw, so it got caught and it kicked back. So the wood actually cut me.
Dude. Oh, my God.
Dude. That wow. last caller had so much more fun making his injury happen.
Yeah. Don't do that, people.
I stopped. That's the first and only accident I've had, so I'm good.
Don't get near a wood chipper because they know where your penis is and it'll go right after it.
I actually have a wood chipper story for you that I found out from a cop, but I don't think you guys want to hear that.
Nope.
No, we don't.
We've heard enough. Thank you, Kurt. We appreciate it.
Oh, no. Oh, God. Oh, no. No, no, no.
Ew.
He's done. Jack Johnson's done. It's just you now, Ralph. Sorry.
Oh, he's done, all right.
6:56 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Coming up, we'll talk to the mayor of South Pasadena. He's the one who apparently is endorsing one of his constituents' ideas to have a no-cussing week in the city of South Pasadena. So we'll talk to him and find out what that's all about on the way after the news. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Wednesday morning. What's going on?
If I lived in South Pas, I'd be like, are there no real problems here?
No yeah. kidding.
This guy, recall Mayor Chukakachi.
Is that his name?
Chukakaki.
Something like that. It is.
Kapakichi. His freaking name is. Wow, look at Oprah Winfrey.
What?
Fat. But also rich and powerful.
Yeah.
And monster TV star. The top 10 ratings from Nielsen's came out from last week.
I'm so fat.
For the biggest TV shows. And as you can imagine, American Idol took the 1, 2, and 3 slots.
Sure, without even trying, like usual.
Not even trying. American Idol Tuesday night was number 1. Idol Wednesday night was number 2. The results show, oddly, was number 3. Number 4, though, was Oprah's Big Give.
Oh, I'm so fat.
I'm waiting not to watch that show.
Oh, Lisa, she gives so big. She's the biggest giver.
Now, I don't
give.
I haven't seen this yet, Ralph, and I'm a little bit confused based on the commercials I've seen. Is it a game show or is it a charity thing?
Yes.
They get free stuff?
Bunch of people, and you have to be the biggest giver. You have to change someone's life the most by giving them the most. And then if you give big, big, give big, then you win.
Now, does everybody start with the same amount of money?
Yes.
Or? Yeah, they do.
And they
got
to find a way to give big.
So it's basically using the money that you get the best?
Yes.
Yes.
The most effective.
How did she tie her name onto it? What does she give?
How can she not tie her name to anything she's involved with? Oprah got a TV show just so she could put Oprah in the title of it.
I'm so fat.
Oprah's Big Give. She's got the balls to name her magazine. Oh!
Yep.
Bruh. And her network. Oh!
And puts herself on the cover of every single issue of the magazine.
Yeah. Yep. Come on. This woman is no saint.
But it's called Oprah's Big Give. She's not giving anything?
She's the producer of the show.
End, I think, right?
But does she give
producer and host of the
stuff?
Show. Does I think, well, the money that they give away comes from the show, so I'm guessing it's from her.
All right.
But she's just, hey, look at me. I'm a big giver.
So
she's
people watched that.
She's a
like.
Big giver. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm so fat.
Big. Oh, she's big. She likes
she's
cake.
Never had any, she any penis cake. Injuries.
She likes some cake. Deal or No Deal was number 5. Extreme Makeover Home Edition was number 6. Don't forget the lyrics.
Do not do that.
No.
Number 7. Don't you dare forget those lyrics. It's back and it's worse than ever.
Wow.
Number 8, Lost. You have to go to number 8, by the way, to get yourself a TV series with a script of some kind.
That's sad.
Number 8 on the list. Number,
if you want to call that a series with a script, by the way.
Well, it's got to be. Boy, no show has ever had more of a script. That's the problem. It's got too much goddamn script, if you ask me. Then ABC premiere event on Monday night.
What's that?
Oh, is that the Queen? That?
No, that can't be because this is last week.
This is last week.
Don't
I don't know what that was, but it was big.
It was big.
And Survivor Mike Rhodesia.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Was number 10.
Fans versus favorites.
Fans versus faves.
Yeah. I wonder if that was Raising in the Sun.
Oh, yes.
I bet it was. I bet it was.
Thank you, Lisa.
Good call, Lisa.
It was Sean P. Diddy Puff Daddy Combs.
I started watching it.
Acting is just his ass off.
It's pretty good. I haven't finished it, but it's pretty good.
What's
up with that?
A biopic in the works for the late reggae music legend Bob Marley. This could be an interesting film.
Yeah, yeah,
I had
see
quite
that.
A life.
Smoked a lot, tell you that.
Did a lot of stuff, too. Did
a lot
of social anarchy and changes and civil rights and whatnot in between puffs.
A lot of people don't realize as much of a music legend and an icon as he is, as the dude was only like, I don't know, 35 years old or something like that when he died. He was real young.
Yeah. The Weinstein Company. Bob and Harvey Weinstein have optioned his story from his widow's book, Rita's book, No Woman, No Cry, My Life with Bob Marley. And they're going to try to tell his life story, they claim, as true to the truth as possible. His life and career, his numerous affairs, and his 1976 assassination attempt that left him badly injured. No casting yet has been announced, but apparently a few of Bob's sons are reportedly very interested in the role, as you can imagine.
Sure.
So maybe Ziggy will stop by and play his dad.
Shaq.
Or Shaq. Right. Shaq Marley. One of his other sons.
That would be awesome. That Shaq.
Gnarls Barkley is at a bit of a roadblock when it comes to their new video.
Oh.
It has been banned by MTV.
Why?
Cool. Now, here's the thing. There's no foul language, there's no violence, and there's no nudity.
Why is it banned?
But the video for their new single, Run, failed the Harding test.
Which is...
Familiar with the Harding test?
Is that Tanya Harding?
Yes.
Does she like
Orangey Harding? She hit him at the knee with a pipe, so they can't be in the video anymore. Now, the Harding test is the test that they use on strobe lights and other types of effects to see whether it will trigger epileptic seizures or not.
No kidding.
Oh.
And because of the editing in the film and the lighting in the video, it is in danger of triggering epileptic seizures.
Really?
So MTV won't air it for fear of making the epileptics...
Probably.
Foam at the mouth and fall over backwards.
there was a show or a video or something that got a lot of press a couple years ago, Ralph. Remember people were actually having seizures? Do you remember what
Japanese,
it was?
There were Japanese cartoons.
Was it a Japanese game show? Is that what it was, maybe?
I don't know.
I thought it was cartoons of some sort.
So there's a certain
anime.
Thing that they know for a fact will
it's
cause?
A certain frequency of flashing that will trigger epileptic seizures. And it's called the Harding test. And apparently MTV runs all their videos through this machine.
Who knew?
And see if it makes people bite their tongue. So... There you go. No Gnarls Barkley for you.
Hmm.
But you can find it on the internet. But be careful.
Yeah, don't watch it.
Because if you're a freaking epileptic, next thing you know, you make that sound. Nobody likes that.
That was TMTH.
That was TMTH.
Yeah.
Hey, that's Danny Noriega right there, you're quoting.
Mm. Gay!
It's TMTH right there. He's
not gay as much as he is a woman.
And he's more feminine than a woman.
He is, yeah. Way more.
Yeah. He sang Tainted Love's, Soft Cell's rather, Tainted Love last night.
Yeah.
Boy, is he just so gay.
Yeah.
And it was great to watch the judges try desperately to dance around the fact that they want to scream inside. They want to scream out, oh, God, you're so gay. So they say things like, you're spicy.
Right.
And energetic. You sure are spicy and energetic with all your spiciness.
That's an enthusiastic performance, little Danny.
Anyway, he was in the tabloids yesterday. All the entertainment news sites had the story about the fact that he was once a punk rocker, Danny was.
Please.
Or more of a sort of a goth slash emo.
Yeah.
God damn it.
And he posted his own video up on his MySpace page, I guess it was.
Yeah.
Years ago when he was all pierced and eye lined up.
Years ago? How old is he now? He looks like he's about 13 now.
I think he's 16 or 17 now. So this was probably back a couple years ago.
Okay.
And it's him doing his Christmas video. And apparently a lot of people are shocked and horrified by the language and the attitude he picks towards the holiest of all holidays.
Right.
Here's a little taste of that video.
Okay, I'm just making a video. A Christmas video. Because it's almost Christmas. Okay, I hope Santa Claus lives your mother. And I hope you all get cold because you guys are all pieces of that.
I hope Santa Claus rapes your mother.
All right.
He says in his Christmas greeting.
That guy's so punk.
He is really, he is an anarchist, man.
I didn't know you could be that punk.
He advocates Santa raping your mom. He's an outlaw. Lives by his own rules.
Wow.
Anyway, some people are saying, is that what we want in American Idol to say? Santa Claus raping your mother? Is that really what we want? Well, you, Psycho Mike, because you're in band packs. But,
yeah.
So apparently people up in arms, but little Danny Noriega's potty mouth around Christmas.
Good thing there aren't any real problems going on in the world.
Well, he should go to No Cuss Week. That's what I'm thinking. And Bjork is back in the news.
Oh, I love her.
Do you have a policy toward her, Ralph?
I do. Mm-hmm. Fjork Bjork is my motto.
Yeah.
The questionably talented Icelandic singer was performing in Shanghai yesterday. And she ticked off the Chinese there.
Oh.
When she shouted at the end of her song, Tibet! Tibet! Declare independence!
Yes.
They like that in China.
They frown on that sort of expression.
Oh, frown on that, right.
Yeah, this is exactly the kind of thing the Chinese government's worried about. With the coming Olympics this year, is the fact they still have a bit of a fan base, the Tibetans do, about being independent and having them not being murdered, and slaughtering
stuff
their
like
monks
that.
And stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, I love Bjork, but does she think that Tibet hadn't thought of that before and that somehow her urging is going to make them go, hey, you know what?
Why
we will.
We should be independent. Thank you, woman in swan dress. the Chinese apparently missed a great opportunity to take her in the back and shoot her.
How dare you.
Unfortunately, she got through the performance unscathed. All it would take is one Tiananmen Square tank. She's small. You could just run right up. We would barely notice. She'd probably get caught in the tread. We'd never even see her again.
The world would be a much more boring place without little Bjork. Come on.
Perhaps. Hey, focus on
That's elevator music in hell is what that is. When you take the elevator down to hell, that's the song that's playing when you step inside.
On a loop.
You just stand there watching the numbers go down. 9,476. 9,477. It's springtime! And then you just go to hell.
So you like her?
Bjork, Bjork. Today's celebrity birthdays. Penn Jillette. Not only a talented comedian magician, but he makes a hell of a razor.
Yes, he does.
He is 53 years old today. Guitarist John Frusciante of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I like music! Watch me play guitar!
Seriously, what's up with John?
A year ago in the Grammys, was that when that was? Yeah.
Thank you for a good award!
He said. Let's not let John near the mic next time the man accepts him.
I like guitar strings!
That's what he said. Kevin Connolly from Entourage is 34 years old today. Nikki Taylor, talented supermodel is 33. Isn't she the one who lost her sister? It was an equally hot supermodel?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah,
I think
that was a tragic story.
And she had a horrible car accident or something.
Yeah, that was horrible. Jake Lloyd, who was the little Anakin Skywalker in Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, turns 19 years old today. And his career just
way behind him.
Skyrocketed right after that performance. Just kept working, working, working.
I don't think he ever did another film, Ralph.
Oh, that's right.
I didn't see him anywhere.
Can't imagine why. And that's about it.
Okay.
I was gonna go with Eddie Grant, because I know we got the song, but it's 7:08.
So now you're going to question it on the air and figure out if we want to. If we have time
should
to
we play Electric Avenue by Eddie Grant?
Probably could play. It's pretty short.
You think?
Yeah.
Let's not.
Okay.
Oh, well, maybe we should.
Electric That's Avenue. It. That's all we have time for.
That's all?
Yep.
See, I didn't want Eddie to interrupt us.
Next hour.
That's why I didn't do it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show with
Beat. Psycho Mike, you live in Pasadena or South Pasadena? Which city are you in?
I reside in South Pasadena.
Okay.
And what's the buzz? What's the buzz on the streets of your town? What have you been seeing lately?
No cussing, dude. Cleaning up your mouth. That's what it's all about in SP.
South Pasadena is an official no cussing zone this week.
Wow. I don't think I've ever heard of this before. I mean, in the United States, I think there are other countries in the world where I think you get in trouble for using that kind of language out loud. But
Singapore,
not so much
for
here.
Instance.
Singapore, yeah.
The idea came from a 14-year-old boy who came up with the idea. He's a fun-loving South Pasadena high school freshman named McKay Hatch. Rides a unicycle.
He said, say no more.
Let's do a no-cussing week. And then, against all judgment, the mayor of South Pasadena said, yes, that's a good idea.
How'd it get to the mayor?
Mayor?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Mayor Michael Cacciotti on the line with us from South Pasadena. So this young McKay Hatch got the word out that he was trying to get his classmates and I guess other people in the community to stop cussing. How did you find out about it?
You know, McKay appeared at a city council meeting a few weeks ago and issued a challenge not only to his fellow classmates but to the city council and the citizens of South Pasadena to join his no cussing challenge. So we accepted. We put it on the agenda for tonight. And the entire city council, we're going to issue him a proclamation declaring a March 3rd through 7th No Cussing Week in historic, beautiful city of South Pasadena.
I got to tell you, I was not aware that all of the problems in the world had already been solved, so we have time for this. That's good news.
Well, clearly the city council was swearing up a storm, and something had to be done. Is that what happened there?
No, we've attempted many times, but no, it's an effort to really recognize just outstanding kids in our community like McKay and others, who've taken a stand up for principles and kind of a stand against popular, popular values out there that aren't, where people do cuss a lot.
All right, let me ask you this, Mr. Mayor, and maybe I want to make sure I'm clear on this before I say something I might end up regretting later. McKay Hatch, he's dying or something, right? I mean, it's like he's got a week to live, and this is the way to pat him on the head and say good boy and let him die happy. I mean, that clearly is what you're doing here, right?
Let's make a wish.
Let's make a wish, right?
No, we really try to. We've recognized kids in our community to do great things. Just last night, four of our high school students, classmates of McKay, hosted a video about the plight of kids in Africa that are taken by rebel forces and forced into war. So we try to, every chance we get, we try to recognize kids in our community that really do something outstanding.
He says, this 14-year-old unicycle rider, he says, by encouraging his classmates to stop using their favorite four-letter words, Hatch is hoping it'll be easier for them to say no when it comes to tougher decisions like drugs and alcohol.
You know, it really is true. I mean, another thing this does really creates an awareness of the harmful impacts. Just, you know, we all kind of laugh at it, cussing, but there's really serious harmful impacts. When people cuss in your presence, in anybody's presence, what's the impact on other people? It causes tension, hostility, anger, uneasiness.
I don't feel any of that.
It is almost impossible to drink and do drugs without cussing.
Is that right?
I think it.
I don't know that that's true, Lisa.
I'm pretty sure. You try.
I think maybe you're mocking.
You try and see.
Mr. Mayor, have you seen this TV show South Park?
A few times.
Okay. How hilarious is that show? How lame would that show be if they didn't cuss on it?
Good point.
I'm saying there are times when swearing is essential. Look, this is Bean speaking here. I think you guys would back me up in this. I don't have a potty mouth. I don't have a problem with swearing all the time when I shouldn't and stuff like that. But there are times when those are the words you need to make the impact. There are times when those are the funny words and those are the words that say precisely what it is you're trying to say. And you're taking away colors out of my palette if I can't swear.
I mean, I think the issue is for McKay and the rest of us are just, you know, set your goals high. Try not to offend people when you're around them. Treat people with respect. It's simply just try to exercise the golden rule every day. Treat people the way you want to be treated.
I can understand that you would say that if he was your kid, but if you're running a meeting and a 14-year-old boy comes up and says, here's how to get people to stop doing drugs and all that, and it's by not cussing, you go, okay, noted. And you move on with the real business.
No, you,
you don't say, yes, we'll give you an award.
You know, I've been a soccer coach for now nearly 30 years, coaching youth, high school, and college. And that's one of my rules at the beginning of the year. There's no cussing during the season. If you cuss, go down and give me 10 push-ups.
I think I could understand that as the coach of a team because right. You have the option of not playing on that team if you don't like it.
Right.
But you're running a city, dude.
You know, it's just a reminder to all of us. You know, try to establish good habits every day and treat people with respect at your job, in your families, and your friends, at school, at work, even in a political arena. I mean, treat people. Let's elevate the discourse. Let's have civility now.
I see where you're coming from, and I honestly believe, Mr. Mayor, that your intentions are pure. But it seems like whatever time in South Pasadena they're spending talking about not, you know, saying damn, it seems like that time would be better spent doing the types of things that you're talking about. Spend time with your kids, for instance. Get your kids involved in extracurricular activities. Other things that really have a more direct result on keeping them away from having too much free time and getting into drugs and bad habits.
That's a great point. I mean, I think we've got to do it all. I think it's a multi-pronged approach, you know, but you got to recognize kids that take a stand that something unpopular such as this, or taking a stand against drugs, against violence, yeah. against gangs.
You're going to get the hell beaten out of this kid. That's what's going to happen.
It's ironic that this kid is going to get beat up every single day now.
He's
going
to ride up to the little podium on his unicycle, and he's going to say, let's not cuss. And then he's just going to get beaten to hell, dude. Why do you hate
heck.
This kid?
Beaten to heck.
Heck, heck.
What does that say about our culture? Kids, how do kids supposed to treat each other with respect?
Why do you hate McKay Hatch? Why do you hate him?
I think it says pick your battles. Pick the reasonable battles that can be won, I think is what it says about our culture.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I mean, you know, if this kid survives the week, we're going to be pleased. We're going to be happy. And South Pasadena sounds like a nice place to live, Mr. Mayor. We appreciate you coming on K-Rock and talking to us today.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Wow.
The unicycle isn't helping the kids.
Come on. He's doing no cussing week and he rides a unicycle?
Come on, one or the other, dude. You make me hit you.
You think the mayor of South Pasadena used to ride a unicycle when he was in high school?
I think he still rides a unicycle.
Different connection.
Look, he sounded like a nice guy, and I totally understand the positive things that he's trying to promote.
Sure.
But
I don't know that we need to go to 14-year-olds to tell us how to live life.
But I also don't think...
He doesn't know.
I also don't think
he rides a unicycle.
Right, but just because an idea comes from a 14-year-old, automatically it shouldn't be dismissed, but this one should. That's my point.
Okay, that's fine, but shouldn't all ideas that come from 14-year-olds that ride unicycles be discounted?
Okay, I think we could agree on that. No cussing in South Pasadena is the story, and I guess we have a complaint caller on the phone. What's going on here?
Yeah, it's the great Sean Connery. Good morning, Sean.
Hello, Cameron and Bean. How the f*** are you?
Okay.
God.
Listen, in light of the conversation we just had with the mayor, Mr. Connery, why do you come at us with language like that?
Well, that's why I wanted to talk to you fellas, was to talk about this story you were talking about.
Okay.
About this 14-year-old with the tricycle.
He's just trying to clean up the neighborhood. There's no disrespect necessary.
He's a sucker, first of all.
Right.
And he's infringing upon my First Amendment rights.
Your First Amendment rights?
That's right. Freedom of motherfucker. Speech.
Well, I don't think that the mayor was saying that you're going to get arrested or anything like that. You can still legally cuss. It's just that they're trying to discourage it.
Why?
Because then you'll stop doing drugs as well.
Yeah, that's shady logic, if you ask me. Listen, is one of the greatest words in the world.
Yeah.
It's multi-purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the only way to really, truly express yourself. There's a reason this 14-year-old doesn't want to use the word it's because he knows he'll never have an opportunity to use it as a verb.
Oh, that's ugly.
He's never getting laid on his little f***icle.
So there are some times when no other word will do. That's what you're saying, Mr. Connery.
F***ing sucker.
Now, Sean, how often are you in South Pasadena, though? I mean, I don't think this is going to affect you.
Every time I go to see the Rose Parade.
You go to the Rose Parade?
F***ing. I love to sit in the stand and say, wow, you did a great job stapling some seeds to a Volvo.
Oh, my God.
Nice job. This parade blows. You people are That's my way I spend my New Year's Day.
And now you can't do that
anymore.
And
now I can't do it because it's no cussing week.
Yeah.
By the way, who calls it cussing?
I don't know. That's a good question.
What 18th century came up with that idea? Golly gosh, no cussing down by the swimming hole. Let's go to the general store and get some pickles out of the barrel.
It is. Now that you mentioned it, it is weird that they don't use swearing as the term, I
No,
guess.
Cussing.
Cussing, yeah.
Yeah, South Pasadena can stick its tongue firmly in my hole.
Okay, well,
please, I think my
Wow.
Listen, as Kevin pointed out, I don't think this is really meant for you. It's really meant more for the residents. And I think the goal is just to start a neighborhood discussion about bad habits that young people get into. That's what the mayor was trying to tell us.
I think we are starting a discussion.
Yeah.
And my half of the discussion is you.
All right, Sean, good to hear from you.
Yeah.
Go yourself.
Bye now. Well, Brett Favre has retired from the NFL. No longer the quarterback.
I don't remember a time before Brett Favre was the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, but it is, how many seasons? 17 seasons, I think he's been doing.
Wow. Yep. 17
Unbelievable.
Seasons.
Young man named Aaron Rodgers, very happy today.
Who's
he's
that?
The guy who's been, he's been warming the bench. You know, Brett Favre, doesn't matter how hurt he is, he always goes out there and plays. He never gives Aaron Rodgers a minute. So finally, that dude's going to get his shot to quarterback the Packers next year. But, you know, when we heard that this future Hall of Famer had stepped down, obviously the first thing we thought is, what about his boyfriend, John Madden? What about Coach Madden? I mean, you know how he is about Brett Favre, right?
Yeah, we have him on the phone.
Oh, we do? Good.
He doesn't sound so good. John, good morning.
Oh, guys, what's going on?
Oh, that's what I was afraid of.
Oh, my gosh.
John, you all right?
No, I'm not all right. I've been drinking all night.
Oh.
Just turkey juice, but I mean, I got it all over myself.
Yeah.
It's drooling down the sides of my face. I'm not cleaning it up, getting it on my clothes. Somebody said I should get the dry cleaned. I said, what's dry cleaning?
That's
well,
sad.
Coach, you were the very, very first person that came to mind when we heard the tragic news that I guess it can't be much of a surprise to you. I mean, every off season we know there's a possibility that your boy won't come back, but this one had to really hit you right where it hurts.
No, you might have thought so. I thought he'd play forever.
You had to know something.
No, you don't know what you're talking about.
You can play forever?
You can play for vampires, play forever. And I know Brett Favre isn't a vampire. I one time saw him look in the mirror, and you saw the reflection.
Okay.
Looking back.
Good.
But you know, I've never seen if he drank blood or anything like that. So, I don't bring garlic around him. I don't want to test it. But
right,
I mean,
sure. Now,
what is Brett Favre going to do? What am I going to do? Who am I going to reference? Tony Romo?
Yeah, good point.
Hey, that guy's no Romo. That sounds like a good thing.
yeah, you're right about that. You know, I don't know. It's going to be tough for you, but I imagine that Brett, who's a smart, articulate guy, I imagine he'll end up in the booth for one of the channels. Don't you think he'll be doing commentary on TV?
You might have just brightened up my day a little bit.
Well, I don't. You're a color commentator. So would he be? I mean, he would probably have to be on another channel.
No. He could do play by play. Hold on one second. Michael's contract. Yeah, Al
Michaels.
Yeah.
You don't want
not you guys. Hold on. Check his contract right now. No.
You don't want Brett Favre to replace Al Michaels.
No. Why would I? Where would you get that idea?
Well, John, is there any kind of a suicide watch? Do you have friends and family around you? I mean, are you keeping yourself safe here?
You know, not really. I'm not. I'm going to see what happens. I mean, what's the league going to be? I mean, they have to change the name from the National Favre League to the No Favre League. Of course, when you think about it, the initials will stay the same. It's just when you write it out longer that it'll be the problem. And
well, sure.
You sound broken up.
What's the NFL going to do? I mean, remember the game where Brett Favre threw for 20 touchdowns? You remember the?
There was no game.
That never happened, John.
No quarterback has ever done that.
Remember the 11 Super Bowls he won in the last 10 years?
He didn't win any.
Yeah, none. I think he won that one like about 11 years ago. That was it.
We all have different versions of history.
John, you're going to be okay, man. You're going to be all right. It'll pass.
Oh, God. I don't know what I'm
going to
do.
Oh, that's so sad.
I mean, if there's one thing I could say about Brett Favre, guys, it's this. Brett Favre is the, you know, the kind of guy that, you know, when you see and you realize it, it's just Brett Favre.
That's an excellent point.
That
I think that's
true.
That's a nice place to leave it today, Coach.
Thank you, Coach.
Thank you very much. Bye, bye, John.
Local H is the name of that band. If you'd like to go look it up, brand new music on. Oh wait, no, it's not brand new music.
Nope.
7:54. It's the world famous K Rock, the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk to Astra Woodcraft just after the top of the hour. She runs a.
She's my favorite sorceress.
Website called X Kids of Scientology.
She's got a cauldron.
I don't think so. Oh.
What's her name? Astra Woodcraft?
That's her name.
Sounds like some sort of psychedelic rock band.
Yes, it does.
Doesn't it?
I think it sounds like a hobby company. New from Astra Woodcraft. Build your own PT-109.
Yeah.
Well, it is a fascinating site run by ex-Scientologists, and you know that's a topic that we are very interested in. So that's coming up after the news. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
Whatever with Scientology. It's all about ideology, American ideology.
Oh, dear God.
Did you watch American Idol last night?
No!
It was, dude, it was boys' night.
I never watched that show, you know that.
I think every night's boys' night on American Idol.
Boy, that was really gay.
A lot of controversies going on this season, Kevin. You're missing
out. I'm sure there are.
First and foremost, we had the stripper. You know, David Hernandez.
Right.
Oh, the male stripper.
The male stripper, the one who was in Glendale, Arizona.
The stripping for males.
Stripping, giving guys butt-naked lap dances.
Gotcha.
And are they Dick's still Cabaret.
Are they still debating his sexuality?
Yes.
Yeah,
good. We're not sure whether he's gay or not.
Right.
So my wife, I told you yesterday, my wife just wants him to be straight. Just dying for him to be straight.
But why?
Because she thinks he's good-looking.
Okay. So, is he too pretty to be?
So we had the argument first and foremost before this broke. I said, "Honey, he's gay." No, he is not. My gaydar is better than yours. He is not gay. And then the story breaks where he's performing down at the White Swallow there on Gulp Boulevard in Arizona, and giving nude lap dances to the fellas at Dick's Cabaret.
And what's your wife's?
And so she goes, "Does it necessarily mean he's gay just because he's a nude stripper for men?"
I'd say no. I'd say there's a 1% chance he's not.
Not necessarily, but once you start giving him the nude lap dances, that's when you're gay.
Yeah.
At that point. You can make a lot of Chippendales. Guys love the Chippendales, but the Chippendales are primarily straight fellas because they have a big female following. I'm not sure there's a lot of women crowding into Dick's Cabaret on Gulp Boulevard.
Didn't you cover guys, though, back in the Sex U days, back when the Kevin and Bean Show was good? Didn't you cover guys who were straight who would do even gay porn because the money was so much better?
Gay for pay.
Is it possible that maybe he can make a lot more money dancing for the fellas than for the chicks, or no?
Well, you probably can't make any money dancing for the chicks unless you're in the Chippendales or one of those big dance troupe kind of deals.
He doesn't exactly fit that mold.
He doesn't. He's not a big burly fella.
Mm-hmm. No.
But I don't think you're making that great money either at Dick's.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, the thing is, so this scandal breaks. And you know, my thing about American Idol is every time a scandal breaks, they pretend nothing's going on. They just turn a blind eye and say, oh, we're still the world's greatest TV show. So TMZ's got a great story this morning. If you go to their front page, they have isolated a clip from last night's performance where this Hernandez kid is up there singing.
Right.
And at the end of his song, before they go to the judges to give their feedback, someone has Cowell's mic turned up early.
Excellent.
And he leans over to Randy and Paul and says, "Say you like the way he stripped it down about the song." He's telling them to say that.
He's giving them comments?
He's like trying to goad them into giving some feedback with the word "stripped" in it somehow. Tell him you liked it the way he stripped it down. Do it. And then like, they turned to him and was like, "Oh, no, I thought it was great. It was wonderful."
So, dear God.
Simon's got a sense of humor.
Yeah. Yes.
And then we got Danny Noriega.
Oh, don't get me started on this little fruitcake.
This the Jessica Alba lookalike.
I thought that's who we were talking about.
David Hernandez is another very intense Mark Anthony kind of guy.
There's two super gay?
But he's not super gay. No. The Hernandez guy is still questionable. You know,
the guy that looks like Jessica Alba.
No, that's Danny Noriega. Will you please follow Kevin, pay attention.
Sorry.
Anyway, Danny, he's in the news today because he put up his own video back when he was a punk. A goth punk emo.
When he was singing punk music?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was coming down on Christmas, man, because Christmas is for the squares, daddy-o.
Did he use the word daddy-o?
I don't think he did, no. Anyway, here is his video that he put on his own MySpace page.
Okay, I'm just making a video. A Christmas video, because it's almost Christmas. okay, I hope Santa Claus rapes your mother, and I hope you all get cold, because you guys are all pieces of shit. Bye.
Yeah.
Hope Santa Claus raped your effing mother, man.
He was tough, man. He was so badass.
Yeah. Way
badass.
Punk. Wow, he's
You
punk.
Can look at him and see that.
Oh, he scares me in that video.
Punk.
So now people are saying, what type of idols are we voting for? What has America come to?
What are you watching is a better question.
Oh, it's fascinating.
Stop it.
It's a great show. By the way, Kevin, even you would have enjoyed yet another David in the competition. I think there's like four of them in the top 12 or something. But a guy came out and did a emo rock version of Lionel Richie's Hello last night.
Yeah.
And it was really good.
Okay. All
did
right.
an electric guitar version of Hello.
All right, then.
Hello, is me you're looking for?
What a bizarre show.
You rocked out, man.
You guys, you're bad TV.
Speaking of music, great story coming out from the Gallagher brothers.
Oasis? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking of the comedian, right? Sure.
I was too.
I thought of Gallagher and his doppelganger brother. Yeah, I did.
No, Oasis. Come on, fellas.
All right, Oasis. I'm with you.
Apparently, Noel was backstage at a Marilyn Manson concert in Los Angeles. And Liam was with him. And they were hanging out with Marilyn drinking absinthe.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And who comes rolling up, giving them both some crap, but Jeff Conaway.
What?
No. He's still rolling around?
I think this was pre-celebrity rehab, pre-Scientology.
Okay.
He was giving them a hard time about drinking absinthe.
I don't know about the drinking or whether he was just maybe loaded and just being belligerent. But anyway, an argument ensued. And Noel told a guy on the radio in England, Kinnicky shouted, I've had four back operations, you know. So I said, so get yourself out of the wheelchair then. And he said, I've had four back operations, but I can still pull a knife on you, and pulled out a giant knife and started threatening Noel with it.
Oh.
Oh, good.
God.
Good. Don't walk over by me. I'll stab you.
Right. I will roll over. If I had a third arm, I could hold the knife and roll myself right at you right now. But that's not going to happen.
Wow.
So a little trouble between Jeff Conaway and Oasis.
Oh my God.
We have our friend Dr. Drew on the show tomorrow. We can get an update maybe on how Jeff Conaway is doing these days.
I
after
can tell you
rehab.
How he's doing. He's clean and sober because he's got vitamins and exercise.
Sure.
That's all he needs. Bad news for Gnarls Barkley. They're a new video, Run, which, by the way, I saw it on the intranet that the kids are all using these days.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. It's a great song. Have you ever heard Run? The new,
it is a great song. I've heard the song,
It's a great video, too. I did not go into an epileptic seizure, however.
Okay.
And that's what MTV is worried about. They have pulled the video, or rather they're not going to air it, because they have fears that the strobe effect used throughout the video will cause epileptics to fall into seize mode. Apparently, the single failed the Harding test, which is a guideline set by the television industry, which says that certain effects can trigger people into epileptic seizures.
That was TMTH.
Yeah, it was TMTH. You know the first video to have problems with this?
Right.
Mm-mm. Causing epileptic seizures on MTV?
No.
Everybody Have Fun Tonight by Wang Chung.
Hey!
Really?
That was the first video they had people seizing over.
It's because it was bad?
Yeah, because it was really, really bad. No, because it had a strobing effect and people were going...
Really?
You had to put your wallet in their mouth every time they watched the video.
Here he says.
No regrets. That's my motto. That and... Everybody Wang Chung tonight.
Yeah, that's my motto, too. Go through a lot of wallets that way watching that video.
Sure.
That was the problem. And congratulations to Jeri Ryan. She, of course, from Star Trek. She was 7 of 9 on Star Trek Voyager and, of course, is over there on Shark with Jeff Bridges. No.
Thank you, James
Woods. James Woods. That's what I'm talking about. I got Jeff Bridges on the brain because we just watched the new Iron Man trailer in the office. Lightning pulled it up. Oh, the new extended Iron Man trailer is awesome.
That
Jeff Bridges
good.
Plays the bad guy in it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's got a shaved head and a big burly beard.
Is it burly there?
Burly there. He looks badass. Yeah, it looks great. Anyway, Jeri Ryan, she's a new mommy. She just had a new baby. Well, you can't have an old baby, really.
No.
They're pretty much new when they come out, aren't they? First child for her and her husband, Christopher Emmy, who is a world-renowned chef. Little baby girl named Giselle, which is a pretty name. She has a 13-year-old son from a previous relationship. That's when she was married to the sex fiend senator.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jack Ryan, I think his name was. He was like a fight terrorist and stuff. No. He was clear and present danger. Wasn't he in that? He was on a submarine.
That's different guy. Same name, different guy.
Anyway, congratulations to Jeri Ryan. Imagine your 13-year-old kid and your mom's Jeri Ryan.
Yeah.
That's got to cause problems at school.
Your friends would want to come over all the time.
Isn't that the truth?
Let's go to your house.
Hey, where's your mom's underwear drawer?
What?
Just want to sniff. We haven't done that in a while, but hot moms and the problems that causes.
Oh, sure.
That'd be an interesting call-in subject, wouldn't it? We've had pretty good luck with that story.
Oh, yeah.
Not that I don't want to do another round of penis injuries, fellas.
Hey,
don't
those
get me wrong.
Were great this morning.
Jump
those
on.
Were great.
It's great if you don't mind just wincing and crossing your legs all morning.
It does hurt.
A guy spanked with lie.
I heard it. Don't have to replay it.
But it's good advice for the young people listening, Ralph, to avoid doing those sorts of things. That's all. We're a public service show. You
I'd
know
rather
that.
Hear about hot moms than scarred penises. That's all
we can
I'm
do
saying.
That. We can do both.
I guess everybody does love dick.
All right.
I guess not. Some people abuse their
cojones.
Yes, they do. Today's celebrity birthdays, Penn Jillette of legendary Penn & Teller. He is 53 years old today. John Frusciante from Red Hot Chili Peppers turns 38. I'm not correct.
Go ahead. Do your impression at the Grammys.
John Frusciante and Chili Pepper. I like music. Like good. That's what he said.
He may have some Grammys. Residual effects from some of his
no,
prior partying.
No.
Perhaps.
Music. Feels good. Jeff Connelly from Entourage. Not Jeff. Kevin.
Kevin Connelly.
He's 34. I had a late night last night. I was out seeing Linkin Park. Oh,
that was
man,
me.
I read,
what? That was me. That was not you.
Nikki Taylor, the former supermodel. Current supermodel, I say. I guess she's 33 years old today. Jake Lloyd, who played Little Anakin Skywalker in Phantom Menace, the Star Wars movie. 19 years old today. And Eddie Grant is 60 years old today.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of something for you, man. Yeah.
Is that what you want? I'm Ralph Garman. I watch the show. This week.
Vampire Weekend on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 11 minutes after 8 o'clock.
That's not a terrible band name, by the way. We were talking about trying to help our friend get a band name. It's no Gooks of Hazzard, but right. I mean, it's pretty decent. Yeah. Vampire Weekend. All right, it's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. We're going to invite your calls on this next topic at 1-800-520-1067. It's a topic that we are well aware we are wading into choppy waters here, as every time it occurs that we talk about the Scientology topic. But there's a new website that is just fascinating. I mean, it's got so much great information on it, and we thought we need to find out more about xscientologykids.com, so we invited one of the creators of the site on the air with us right now, and we'll welcome Astra Woodcraft to the show. Good morning, Astra.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Glad to have you. That's a very beautiful first name, by the way. I don't think I've ever spoken with an Astra before. So what's going on with xscientologykids.com? I mean, it sounds pretty self-explanatory, but tell me about what you and your friends are up to.
Sure. Well, myself, Kendra Wiseman, and Jenna Miscavige Hill started it. We all were raised in Scientology as children and all left as young adults.
Is Miscavige, that's the dude that runs it, isn't it?
Yeah, she's his niece.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So we all experienced Scientology from kind of different aspects, but we all had similar kind of stories of abuse and similar experiences and kind of left for very similar reasons. And after we all left, we started talking, and we realized, I mean, there are other websites out there, you know, critical of Scientology and with information about Scientology, but we wanted to put something out there with the unique perspective of growing up in Scientology as a child. And what's that like? And as a resource for kids who may have recently left or may still be in, who have questions about it. And you have to understand, when you're in Scientology as a kid, it's not an organization that's open to being questioned. You learn from a very young age really not to question anything. So
that's what seems like is one of the most troubling aspects, is that we're literally afraid to talk about this every time.
Yeah. I learned from a very, very young age to basically keep my questions and my opinions to myself and put on a happy face.
Now, when you grow up, though, in Scientology, not to defend them, but how can you tell the difference between simply an abusive father or family member, which probably are in every religion,
of course, right,
and Scientology as a whole? How do you tell the difference?
Well, I mean, I'd like to clarify also that I grew up, there's Scientology, and then there's something called the Sea Org, and the Sea Org is, you know, the people who work there full time. They live there, they eat there, they sleep there. They've dedicated their whole life and all future lives apparently to the Sea Org, and that's really the big problem with Scientology. In my point of view, that's where a lot of the abuse occurred. There are plenty of families who are not, you know, working for Scientology, who just are practicing Scientology, and they have children, and they're not abusive families,
right,
per se. You know, I'm not saying that all Scientology parents are abusive, because not at all. There are a lot of great people in Scientology and a lot of, you know, perfectly happy children, but there are a lot of abuses that occur. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Well, Sea Org essentially makes it sound like that part is the cult, where you get cut off from the outside world.
Right. Well, you do, as a Scientologist, if you publicly say, I don't want to be a Scientologist anymore, and you tell your family, I don't want to be a Scientologist, they will not speak to you anymore. If you publicly speak against Scientology or you're critical of Scientology.
That's Scientology's disconnection policy.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter if you love your parents or not. You say you're leaving, they can no longer talk to you ever?
Right. If you're critical of Scientology, they will disconnect from you.
Now, do you still have family members in the church, Astra?
Yes, my brother, my mom, my grandma, and my daughter's father.
And they won't talk to you?
No, I haven't. Last time I spoke to my mother was right before the first article I ever did criticizing Scientology came out, and she flew into L.A. to speak to me to try and get me to retract the article, and I told her that I would, and then that was the last time I spoke to her.
And Astra, if they chose to speak to you, would they then be thrown out of Scientology?
Yes, because there's a whole policy they have written on what you get declared a suppressive person for. That's what it's called when they disconnect from you. They declare you a suppressive person. And one of the ways you can get declared a suppressive person is by speaking to a suppressive person.
Okay.
Now, one of the areas that we've run into really more questions than answers over the years as we've approached this topic, Astra, is there seem to be so many things at the higher levels of Scientology that a lot of people are not aware of. And it looks like just from perusing your site, scientologykids.com, that you kind of go into some of that high-level stuff that people in the lower realms of Scientology may not know about or may deny, right?
Right. Well, I never got to those higher levels of Scientology when I was in Scientology. It was all a big secret. And basically you're taught that if you learn these higher level materials before you're ready for it, it can make you ill and you'll die.
Oh,
so we were all very, very afraid.
So you didn't want to learn that stuff?
No, it was kept under lock and key. You couldn't go near it. It was terrifying. In fact, the last time I spoke to my mother, I had since learned what these were and had a bit of a good laugh, and I asked her about it, and she wouldn't respond. She wouldn't even tell me she couldn't talk about it. She just
wouldn't say a word.
Wouldn't say a word. I mean, they're so afraid. I think she was wondering why I wasn't ill and dying, because I now knew, you know, what it was. But so we make sure on the site, because if there are kids going on that site who are kind of, you know, they're curious about Scientology, they're a Scientologist maybe, but they have questions and they're not sure, but that's a very scary thing for Scientology kids, is those higher level materials. They're very afraid to read them. So we keep them on a section of the site with a warning, you know, if you don't want to read this, don't go here, because we're trying to be sensitive about that. You know, I mean, that aspect of Scientology, everyone has a good laugh about their, you know, their beliefs in aliens and all of that, and it is very amusing, but really, that's not my argument with Scientology, and that's not even my argument that Scientology is or is not a religion. I mean, people can believe whatever they want to believe, and that's absolutely fine, and I have no issue with that.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is abusing children, you know, violating labor laws, you know, disconnection with families. Those are the big issues, I think.
Speak more to abusing children? What are you referring to exactly?
Well, I knew firsthand of a situation of a high-level Scientologist who molested some children, and they don't report it to the authorities. They blame the children. In
Are you sure this isn't Catholics you're talking about?
Yeah. That's a good point. Well, and yeah, doesn't only happen in Scientology, but they made a big point of hiding it from the authorities. And in fact, I think this part is unique to Scientology, is that they believe that if anything bad happens to you, it's because you've done something bad.
Mm-hmm.
To cause that to happen to you. So they had children who were molested write down all the bad things they'd done that caused them to be molested.
Oh, no.
So talk about a double whammy.
Now, you don't sound like you're coming from a standpoint of, I'm mad, I want to attack, I want to bring down. You sound like you don't have any anger over it.
You know, I really don't. I mean, for one thing, I have my beautiful daughter. As a result of, however strange that happened, as a result of being in Scientology, and I got pregnant and left. So really, you know, I don't have really a day go by where I wish my life had been any different, because I am who I am today as a result of my experiences. And I don't have resentment, I'm not coming from that place. It's just, you know, I think of, you know, the same things. I've spoken to people who've left much more recently than I have, and the same stuff that was going on when I was there is still going on. And it's very frustrating to me that people are split up from their families.
Is the same person that was high up in the church that was abusive still there doing it?
Yes.
Can you tell us who that is?
Well, the guy who runs the church, Jenna Miscavige's uncle, is David Miscavige, and he still runs the church.
Gotcha. This is Astra Woodcraft, who we're speaking with on the phone about her site called xScientologyKids.com. Couple more quick questions, then we're going to take a break and come back and take some phone calls from the K-Rock listeners at 1-800-520-1067. One of the things that's always puzzled us so much when we get into the Scientology discussion, Astra, is that there are various levels that you have to pay to learn.
Mm.
How much money does it cost to end up at the level that a guy like Tom Cruise is at, or somebody like that who seems to be way high up on the food chain? I mean, how much cash does it take to hear all the stories, to hear all the information that's available to Scientologists?
Well, I mean, it's different for different people because you pay by the hour for a lot of what they call auditing. But from what I understand, it costs at least $300,000 to get up to their highest level that you can currently get up to.
And that's where you learn the OT3 stuff or whatever it's called?
Well, I think they go all the way up to OT7 now.
Oh, they
but
do.
OT3
okay.
is where you learn, you know, some of the, where it begins with some of the more unorthodox beliefs.
And that's what's so fundamentally different about Scientology versus other religions, right? Is that you have to pay. I mean, if you want to learn the stuff that Christians believe in, you can get a Bible literally for free, and it's all in there.
Yes, exactly. Well, it's funny because I have a bill still. I kept a copy of it. When I left, when I stopped working there, when you leave, they bill you for everything you did while you were there. And I never got up to any high level, and they sent me a bill for $80,000.
Wow. Oh, unbelievable. All right, last question for me, Astra, and I don't know if this is in your knowledge base or not, but we saw a story this week about how Scientology has helped people kick drug and alcohol abuse. Do you know anything about that? Do they have some sort of an effective program that they use for Scientologists that really does work?
Well, they do have a program called Narconon.
Right.
I don't, from what I've read studies on it, that it's not effective. And in fact, there was an article in the San Francisco Chronicle a while ago by a writer named Nanette Asimov, basically showing that Narconon was in public schools teaching kids their anti-drug program, but actually it was shown that their program is not based on fact, and the state superintendent of schools, from what I understand, had it removed from the curriculum or had it removed from public schools because it hasn't been shown to be based on fact or effective. And I don't think there have been a lot of official studies done, but I think studies have shown that it's not any more effective than any other program. And I mean, what you do is you sit in a sauna for, you know, 2.5 to 5 hours at a time. You take high doses of niacin, which I think can actually damage your liver. And this is supposed to flush all the drugs out of your system because apparently you remain dependent on drugs because, they linger in your system. But scientifically, it's been disproven. So.
Talking to Astra Woodcraft, who is behind the site xScientologyKids.com. We're going to take some phone calls in the next break. 1-800-520-1067. Astra, your concern is to not get super combative?
Well, I won't get super combative. I can't, speak for anyone.
No, but I'm saying you're concerned about the callers. That's not what we want this to turn into.
No, absolutely not.
Okay. All right. 1-800-520-1067 if you have questions for Astra Woodcraft. We'll do that when we get
xScientologyKids.com is the name of the site. One of the co-creators is Astra Woodcraft. She is on the line with us now in the world-famous K-Rock. Thank you for holding on, Astra. You all right?
Yes.
By the way, your accent is so hot. Where are you from? What's the background on that speech?
I'll stop, but I'm blushing. I was born in England, but we moved to the States when I was 7.
Okay.
Well done. Well done. All right, we're going to take some phone calls here, 1-800-520-1067. And I want to start with Inga in Manhattan Beach. She's on line 5 because I'm sure this is the very first question that many of our listeners thought when they heard Astra come on the show this morning. Good morning, Inga. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Astra, I was just concerned, do you have any concerns or do you ever feel or have you been threatened at all by the Scientologists for having your website or speaking publicly?
Well, the website was only launched last Friday, so I mean, we've gotten a few nasty letters, but other than that, no.
Are you worried about it?
I'm not, but I don't like to be paranoid. But I spoke out for the first time about 8 years ago. As a result, all our family and friends who are in Scientology disconnected from us.
Right.
But, and, there were some nasty things written and said, but beyond that, no, I haven't been threatened.
Astra, what is the deal with the what are your crimes defense that we've heard about from Scientologists? Somebody will speak out against the religion, and then the response from the Scientologists will be to attack that person and ask what their crimes are and accuse them of abusing babies and the whole deal. What's the background on that strategy?
Well, L. Ron Hubbard, who founded Scientology, he said that the suppressive person, this is quoting from him, the suppressive person can't stand the idea of Scientology. If people became better, the suppressive person would have lost. So they basically think that anyone who attacks Scientology or says anything critical as a suppressive person is a bad person, so they must have crimes.
Did you see that story that came out from the Germany, that German scholar that found a book that was 30 years earlier than Scientology, was named Scientology?
You know, I did hear about that story. I haven't read it thoroughly, but I did hear about that.
Okay.
I mean, if you read through a lot of the things that L. Ron Hubbard wrote, I mean, most of it, from what I understand, is plagiarized from other people. So
let's talk to Eric in Corona. He is on line 6 now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Eric, go ahead. You're on with our guest, Astra Woodcraft.
Yeah, good morning, Fuzz. Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Eric.
I had a question. I was wondering, I would try to read up on it, and it's really vague, actually, when you try to read up on it. And I guess my question was do you guys believe in, like, any God at all? Or any, like, not just Jesus Christ or anything, but, like, any God, like, period? What do you worship?
There's no worship and there's no God, which for a lot of people is the argument that, against Scientology being a religion. They do believe that there is mention of kind of some kind of bigger power, but they don't really worship anything.
Okay.
Interesting.
Thank you for calling. They don't believe in anything?
No, I mean, when we would have, like, Scientology events, you know, you would cheer for L. Ron Hubbard and stand up and clap for him. That was as close to worship, really, as it got.
What they believe in is aliens.
Yes.
And the story about the aliens coming to Earth.
They believe that the Christian religion is like a story implanted in our minds many, many years ago.
Interesting. I hadn't heard that either. Thank you very much for the call on that. Let's talk to Matt in Santa Margarita. A few minutes ago, Astra was on and she was talking about the bill she got from the church when she left it. And Matt, I think, has a follow-up question on that. Go ahead, Matt. You're on with Astra.
Hi, everyone. I'm just wondering if the bill you got for $80,000 is legitimate, or can you just crumble it up and throw it away? Or can they take you to collections for that, or what?
No, they can't take me to... I don't think it's legitimate. It would only be legitimate if I wanted to remain a Scientologist. I would need to pay them back, but it's...
But if you don't want to pay, they can't get it from you.
Well, yeah, and I was a minor for most of the time that I worked there, so, I mean, I don't see how they could possibly collect on that.
How many years did you work there?
I worked there from when I was 14 to when I left when I was 19.
14 to 19. Wow.
And this is an important point about this year. I mean, I didn't go to school other than a few hours on the weekend. I worked, you know, 80 hours a week.
How do you not go to school?
We just didn't.
They just said that you were homeschooled?
Yeah, well, they would have us go to school on Saturday for a few hours, and that was it. And I used to work, you know, 8 in the morning till 11, 12 o'clock at night. There were times when we had to get things done where we were made to stay up many, many nights in a row. And I wondered when I was there, I remember wondering, how come no one comes and asks us why there are kids working here? I even knew, they knew that children weren't supposed to be working and that was discussed there, but they would just keep having us working. There were kids younger than me working the same hours, 12 years old, 13 years old.
What did your parents or the other adults think you were going to do for a living when you got old enough that you had to support yourself if you didn't get an education?
Well, in Scientology, they don't consider an education in terms of an education the way we look at it as important. They consider that it's important to learn Scientology, and there are many, even if you don't join the C organization, there are many Scientology companies where you can go work as they'd hire you even though you didn't have a typical education. But
that's
the problem for a lot of kids leaving, is that they have no education. I mean, I didn't have any proper school past the age, I didn't go to a public school past the age of 9. My sister, when she left, you know, had to start high school after having never gone to a public school in her life.
Wow.
So it's difficult.
Let's go to Jennifer in Chatsworth. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Astra.
Hi there.
I'd like to start off simply by saying that I think that your personal experiences are your personal experiences, and they're very valid, and they are what you have gone through. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to say that right off the bat, because where it has to do with Astra, you know what you're talking about. I also happen to be a Scientologist. I've been a Scientologist since I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I also worked for the church. I also raised my first child within the church. And there's just a couple of points that Astra's made that I'd like to just kind of shed a little light on, because you've got millions of people listening, and you know, there's always sides to a story. So there's just a couple points I want to address. And the first thing I have is a question for Astro, which is, you know, in all your time within the organization, whether just being there because you were the child of parents that were Scientologists or on your own, you know, decision, are you really well read on all the basic books in Scientology? Have you actually studied the religion when it was your religion?
Yes. Yeah, and I think the bill for $89,000 for all the Scientology studying that I did do shows that. So absolutely, yes, I did, but I wasn't really allowed to question it or to say that I didn't agree with things or didn't understand things.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry that, that happened to you.
I think our experiences would be completely different. Me having grown up in the SEA organization, mm-hmm. subject to that, and if you weren't in the SEA organization, you know, you were in the SEA organization?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, for a lot of people, I think who've only been public Scientologists, they didn't see what went on in this organization. And
what years were you there?
From 93 to 98.
Okay, so that's 10 years ago. 10 going back to 15.
Right,
years
but
ago.
I've spoken to people who left mm-hmm. as recently as a year ago, and the Got same it. Exact things that were going on when I was there are still
well,
going on today.
I'd so. Like to just simply. I'd like to just simply gently remind you that when you speak of general things, it's best to take it from your own viewpoint. I believe in God. I don't know any Scientologists who don't believe in God. There's nothing in our catechism that says don't believe in God or that, you know, Jesus wasn't who Jesus was and who Moses wasn't who Moses were. That's our basic catechism. And if you know the catechism of your own religion, you would know that that's true. I don't know anyone who walks around thinking anything. I don't think L. Ron Hubbard is God. I don't carry a picture of him in my wallet. I think he is a most brilliant and benevolent gentleman who created this technology. And yes, he culled it from many different sources. He studied all the Vedic studies. He read what major philosophers and religious leaders said. But the difference is, for me at least, and I will speak of myself personally, and I was raised Jewish, and I still actually am a practicing Jewish woman, and I practice all the holidays and go to temple, and it hasn't conflicted at all. The point I'm trying to make is that you codify something so it's understandable. If someone had come up to me when I was in high school and said, you know, everything you need to know about life and living, this is here in the Bible, and this is it, you know, there are the Ten Commandments. There is incredibly valuable and needful data in all the great religions of the world. That someone codified it and put it into a point that people could actually understand and use now. I was okay. a Buddhist for a
time.
I don't
remember a time before you started talking. But
can I ask?
Well, let me respond.
Yes,
okay.
Astra, go ahead.
Go ahead, Astra.
She said, I mean, I am speaking from my point of view and from my experiences and from the experiences of people who've spoken to me directly or stories that I've read from people. But if you believe in God, that's fantastic. And Scientology doesn't say you can't believe in God. That's correct. But they do not talk about worshiping a god. But to me, that argument's irrelevant because I wouldn't define a religion based on whether you believe in God or not. I mean, that's to me not the argument. And in terms of being able to worship another religion and Scientology, that Scientology, from my experience, is Scientology's line when you first get into Scientology. Oh, of course you can still be a Christian and be a Scientologist. Oh, of course you can still be a Buddhist and be a Scientologist. But my experience, especially in the Sea Org, they even have a term for it. They call it being open-minded, which now we think in the real world is a good thing, but they consider it a very bad thing of being open-minded to other religions. Because once you accept Scientology, you shouldn't believe in other religions. And on the subject of Christianity, as I brought up before, L. Ron Hubbard does actually say that the whole thing, the whole basis of Christianity was something implanted in our minds many, many years ago to control us. So Scientology, in reality, truthfully, is not all-embracive of other religions and accepting of other religions.
Sorry.
What happened?
Who'd you just
hang
up on?
You
didn't hang up on Astra, did you?
No, she should still be there. Astra?
Oh, I hung up on her.
Well, guys, I just wanted to make a simple point.
No, you can't make another point, Jennifer. You can't. I'm an old man already. I'm sorry. God bless you, but you're awfully chatty.
I mistakenly hung up on Astra, but then Jennifer transferred to that line. I don't know how I did that.
That's a big mistake.
Let's have Astra call us back.
I apologize for that. That's
all right. I think that's a good place to end it there. But if you want to check out the site, it's xscientologykids.com. As Astra Woodcraft, our guest, said, it just went live this past Friday or so, and there really is a lot of interesting information on there. And of course, there's a way to communicate with her and respond if you have other things you want to say. So thanks to Astra for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you. I'm sorry I hung up on you.
Okay.
I apologize. I hung up on you. It was an accident, but thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right. Bye now.
Hold on. Jennifer has a few more points she wants to make.
No time for that. Time for the Afro line, 323-520 AFRO. That's the phone number 24 hours a day. Pretty much every Wednesday for a couple of weeks now, Dave the King of Mexico has called, disguising himself as, quote, Listener Dave. Talking about Jericho. Well, this is no longer Listener Dave.
Hey, guys. This is Listener Dave's friend, Sheckler. You know what? He told me to watch Jericho, and you know what? I like it. I like it. It's a hit. I think I'll keep watching it. The final three episodes, Jericho, Tuesday nights, 10 p.m. on CBS. Watch it.
Wait, okay. It's on Tuesday nights?
Yeah.
And he's calling us on Wednesdays?
By the way, he has a friend named Sheckler that we know.
Right. He's not fooling anybody.
Maybe we should pick someone we don't know. Maybe.
Exactly.
I'm just saying maybe. We had a contest yesterday where we found out that a girl had never heard of South Park, and that was unacceptable to me.
Yes.
Because South Park is my god.
Yeah, okay, so you think not knowing South Park is bad? My ex-girlfriend from a year ago didn't know what the freaking Super Bowl was. She seriously stood there and said, "What's the Super Bowl? Is it bowling?"
That's fantastic.
No. Hope he told her yes.
I love that.
I hope so.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, I normally don't do this, but suck on my c- and choke, motherfucker.
Another call from South Pasadena?
Yeah. You know them.
Yep, I'd just like you to know that if the season ended today, I would still hate baseball, and I would still wish that all baseball players died now.
That seems extreme, but okay.
He's just wrong.
We had some highlights of cooking with Coolio. And apparently Shaka Zulu is what he says instead of cursing, and maybe he lives in South Pasadena. I don't know. Maybe.
Shaka Zulu, motherfucker!
But then he says it, so it doesn't make any sense.
I drink Psycho Mike's asshole. Oh. I drink it up.
You know what's wrong with...
possibly the worst Afro call bunch we've ever had.
You know what's wrong with these kind of slogans?
Right.
I drink your milkshake kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop. It just keeps going. And then at some point you have to go, all right, I'm not going to say that anymore.
I drink Dave the King of... Mexico's fingerless gloves. I drink them up. I drink White Means radio commercials. I drink them up. I drink Kevin and Bean's Astro Line. I drink it up.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Gotta change the number.
17
gotta
times.
Change the number.
Wow. Thank you. Now the worst impression ever.
Kevin and Bean, this is Sam Arminian comedian.
What?
Kevin, if you put me on the radio anymore, I swear to Allah, I will kill your family. Okay, you need a haircut?
We gotta stop doing this feature.
Mike is effing Andy Dick, Mike is effing Andy Dick. Ooh-wah, ooh-wah. Mike is effing Andy Dick inside his hole. Mike is effing Andy Dick from his knees. I wish you would have never seen Mike effing Andy Dick, because Andy Dick looks like he's in pain. Ooh. Oh, gross. What the hell? That doesn't go there. Ugh.
Or maybe just some sort of screening process to decide which calls get to the air.
Hey,
maybe
those
that.
Were the good ones.
Oh,
323-520.
I gotta go see what Big Boy's doing.
Ralph Showbiz Beat is next. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Do you realize if the season ended today, the Philadelphia Soul would have the best record in the Arena Football League? Soul.
I'm sorry.
Soul.
Are you talking about Arena Football?
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, that blows.
What?
That's horrible.
better than baseball.
Nope.
Better than baseball.
Ooh, I'm going to go Kevin says no.
Tony Graziano, our quarterback, broke team record, threw for 9 touchdowns.
That's why it's bogus. They score like 17 touchdowns a game.
Awesome. So looking forward to March 20th when we come out here to face the Avengers.
You enjoy that.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Nope.
Be
right.
You're not even going to go to that, Rob. I don't even know why you're talking about
catching
this.
Balls.
Not going to be good.
You know how many souvenir balls get thrown into the crowd? Because you're right there, right up against the action. Go, Soul. Go, Soul.
Former sports guy Money forced me to go. He said, this is great. You're going to love it. And we both had a horrible time. When we left, he was like, sorry about that.
You're going again. You
it's
and
not
me.
Happening.
Soul the Avengers.
Not happening.
Let's do it.
Nope. Horrible sport.
Right now, we're tied with the Cleveland Gladiators in our division.
Don't care. Do not care. Let's talk baseball.
Balls. Balls.
Baseball.
Balls.
Balls. Ah, this is bad news. This sucks.
What?
Here's the thing. We make fun of a lot of people. That's kind of what we do here.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Usually without malice.
Most of the time.
We've been known to take a couple shots at a movie called Roadhouse.
Yeah, well.
Starring an actor named Patrick Swayze.
One of the worst ever.
One of the best ever.
Right, worst best.
Dude.
Worst best.
Dude.
Dude.
Roadhouse. Pain don't hurt. That's all you need
Pain
to know.
Pain don't hurt. That's
about
true.
About Roadhouse.
Worst best.
I want you to be nice until I tell you it's time not to be nice.
These are actual lines from the movie.
Well, tragic news coming from the National Enquirer. So, take it with a grain of salt, but apparently they are reporting that Patrick Swayze, star of not only Roadhouse, but also Point Break, Dirty Dancing, has been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer.
Oh, and that's a bad one, right?
Spread to his other organs rather rapidly, and they are saying he's got a little over a month to live.
Oh, my God.
No. Wow.
55 years old, he has been undergoing treatment at Stanford University's prestigious cancer center in Palo Alto, California, but apparently the chemo is not working well. They're saying he's lost about 20 pounds in the past few weeks. He's on a strictly liquid diet these days because he's having a hard time keeping down solid food.
That sucks.
And things not looking good for Patrick Swayze. Which is a shame, because as much as we've mocked him, and I think he is an actor of questionable talent.
Yeah.
Although, I thought he was really good in Tung Fu, where he played a woman.
He was good.
A guy dressing up like a woman. He always seemed like a really decent sort of nice guy. Every time you saw him interviewed and everything, he seemed like a really good guy. So, that's bad news.
Is there time in his remaining 5 weeks to make a Roadhouse sequel? Could he put something up there for us?
See, I try to do something decent. Yeah, I try to put out a little decent energy there, and Bean's got to come back.
He does.
What? I'm not saying anything bad about the dude. I'm just saying Roadhouse was so awesome, it would be a shame if he died before he got a chance to reprise that
great
role.
He just said he lost 20 pounds and he can't eat. What do you think the answer to your question is?
They actually made a Roadhouse sequel with Jonathan Schrake.
They did?
Yeah,
well, that
Jonathan
was the problem. Is that Swayze wasn't in it.
And it was not nearly as enjoyable as the first.
Was that the guy that used to be married to Christina Applegate?
Lisa, your knowledge of celebrity romance astounds me. Yes, you're absolutely right. She was married to Jonathan Schrake.
Wasn't he on Fastlane?
He was on Fastlane. That was Sleek. That was the character known as Sleek. No, Jonathan Schrake was the lead singer of The Wonders in That Thing You Do, the Tom Hanks movie. Okay. He was sort of the moody, obnoxious one who was the lead singer in that band.
What's the story again? I'm sorry.
Where are we?
Patrick Swayze's not well.
Okay.
That's what you're saying. Right. Also not well, reportedly, is Pat O'Brien's career.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Mm.
According to the New York Post, he is about to be replaced on The Insider. He will lose his job there, according to the newspaper, with Donny Osmond filling in.
Really?
Being named his official replacement.
Will Donnie be doing these sorts of stories?
The TV star caught the middle of a dangerous herd of hippos.
I believe he will have to.
Poor Donnie.
You have no choice over there in the insiders. This would be the greatest thing to ever happen to Pat O'Brien, by the way.
No
kidding.
We return with a visit with the Australian anorexic twins, where their doctor force feeds them grapes. Lara?
A lot of those kind of stories he won't be doing anymore.
I've seen Donnie on the show. He's fine.
He's the perfect candidate for celebrity journalism, which is
I guess
many smiles, few thoughts.
Yeah.
That's really how they operate.
Yeah.
Psycho Mike likes that. That's how Psycho Mike operates.
Yeah, sure.
That's what he looks for in a woman, too.
Pat is apparently still in a rehab facility.
He entered a
facility in February because, as the Insider's website says, he and his doctors felt this was his best course for maintaining his sobriety, which, of course, is paramount to everything else career-wise. But it would suck to come out of rehab clean and sober and then be looking for a gig.
But yeah. Maybe this gig drove him to drink.
It's possible.
Maybe this is the exact cure he needs.
A 400-pound man sleeping on an air mattress. We'll talk to the air pump. Lara?
I will tell you, before he got into the crazy world of celebrity journalism, he was a terrific sports host. I mean,
he was,
really,
yeah.
You wouldn't ask, couldn't ask for a better guy in the booth to be, you know, kind of managing a Wimbledon or some other kind of sporting event, an Olympics or something like that. I mean, the guy is very good on his feet.
He's got talent. He'll land on his feet. I'm just saying he may not be on the insider anymore.
Gotcha. Mm.
And, whoa, this is all bad news.
What else?
Paris Hilton's got another acting role.
Oh, that's terrible. Did they see her last movie?
Yes.
Because if they did, they're the only ones.
The Naughty and the Hottie, or the Hottie and the Naughty. Apparently, she is set to guest star in an episode of My Name is Earl.
Oh, God damn it.
I like that show.
I know. It's a
shame.
You
still like that show.
Why would they do that?
I have no idea.
Omar sent in a clip for My Name is Earl, if you want to hear that.
I bet he did.
Paris Hilton. On My Name is Earl.
Okay. Yeah, Eric. Okay, hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of something for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys. I want you to double cross for me.
The setup was so obvious that there was no enjoyment in the payoff. And we all saw it coming. You were just wasting everyone's time.
You were getting redundant with the redundancy.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
That was funny? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's just... It lacked certain something.
That made me miss the afro calls.
It lacked the funny.
That's what it was.
Bad enough.
And in keeping with the bad news, Gary Gygax.
Oh, do not say his name. Who's that?
So what does that even mean? Do not say his name.
Don't give me bad news about Gary Gygax.
Oh, that's what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
Don't even say his name. Do not say his name.
No.
One of the co-creators of Dungeons & Dragons has passed away at the age of 69. Gary, of course, probably best known for starting the International Federation of Wargamers.
Right, sure.
In 1967, which really was 20 guys in his basement. Yeah. Hardly an International Federation of Wargamers. But he loved the role-playing games and invented his own in 1974, where he and his buddy Dave Arneson came up with the idea of the middle-aged story of sorcerers, clerics, and warriors known as Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
I bet was born.
He did not leave behind a wife or children.
Nobody left behind a stack of nudie mags and some lotion. Sync Magazine once named Gary number one of the 50 biggest nerds of all time.
What a privilege, I guess,
What an honor for a man like Gary Gygax.
Good for him.
The Gygax, by the way, is one of my characters' names in Dungeons & Dragons.
Is that right?
I'm Gygax. Poor Gary.
He's fine.
I'm surprised bad. Kevin doesn't
He's
have a clip
fine.
From the news story.
He's not fine. It's the opposite of fine, by the way, when someone says you're dead.
I just think
that's how he rolls.
I just think the 45 minutes you did earlier on him today was enough, probably.
Dungeons and Dragons, man.
I know.
A big part of a lot of people's lives.
I agree. Doesn't have to be a huge part of our show today, however.
Eddie Grant is 60 years old today in the celebrity birthdays. He, of course, gave us Electric Avenue. How can we ever thank him? I'm trying to think of something. Comedian magician Penn Jillette is 53 years old today. Guitarist John Frusciante of the Red Hot Chili Peppers turns 38.
Happy birthday to me!
Kevin Connolly of Entourage is 34. Nikki Taylor, model Nikki Taylor. By the way, Nikki was the one who had the horrific car accident.
Oh, she did.
Right. Her sister died of an asthma attack, believe it or not.
Oh,
we were talking earlier about the Taylor sisters.
That's
were both models. And Nikki is 33 years old today. And Jake Lloyd, who started little Anakin Skywalker. Oh, he was so cute when he was little before he started murdering people and blowing up planets. Wasn't he? Darth Vader?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's 19 years old today. Of course, he's from The Phantom Menace.
Got a clip from that if you...
We do?
No, we don't.
No, we don't. I'm just kidding. Line up.
When will this guy shut up?
Everyone hates you now.
Is it because of who's in the next room? Is that the problem today?
Yes, because
everyone's in a bad mood.
Because you're responsible for bringing in the Armenian comedian.
Everyone lighten up.
With his new act of drumming comedy and numerology that we're going to have to sit through now for the next half hour.
He's a drumming soloist.
It's all your fault.
He's a drumming soloist.
Why don't you play the freaking Omar clip when you talk to Sam? Man, that's when we could use a little something something. But no, you'll leave that pristine in nature. You will leave that clean and clear for us all to hear.
Were you not loved when you were young?
I was loved plenty.
Okay.
And I was taught to hate the right people, more importantly.
Okay.
Meaning you.
How dare you.
Population, you. Hateville. I'm Rob Garman. I walk the show business.
Why am I not surprised that the way this show has been going that now Sam the Armenian Comedian is here?
Time for a brand new artist here at K-Rock. He is a drum soloist, he is known perhaps to some of you as Sam the Armenian Comedian.
Meet Sam Manoushian, a.k.a. the Armenian Comedian. He's had many jobs. He's been a children's entertainer as a clown. He's been a failed comedian, a failed musician, and all during this period, he's been also cutting hair. So we always assumed that he was bad at that, too, because he's bad at pretty much everything he does.
I am the most talented man there is of the of human society of this kind.
I'm genius. I know I'm genius, and I've been told that many times.
Give me a break. He's awful.
I am no one's bitch. I'm my own bitch.
Did you get stoned today, Sam?
I'm get stoned every day, every minute, and even though I don't get stoned, I am stoned.
Right. Yep. That's our boy right there.
Sam, good morning. Welcome inexplicably back to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you?
Oh, fine. I'm all excited to be here and make fool out of the people. That's what I'm here. I make fool of the people.
Make fool.
How do you make fool of the people?
Because I'm smarter than any other human being.
Well, I think that's been proven.
I can do, you know, I want to be the president of all kinds. I don't know what kind.
You want to be the president of all kinds?
Yeah, I don't know what kind they put me in that I need all the governments to recognize.
Okay, I don't know what you're saying right now.
He's saying he should rule the world, is what he's saying.
Yes.
Oh, that would be such a great world.
Let me pay. This may be a mistake.
I'm coming back as a Bob Marley, Ethiopian-born, Addis Ababa. I'm Harik speaking. Okay. I'm having a show.
Okay, hold on one second. I'm going to pay you a compliment here.
He's in the next studio, so I'm just going to turn him down.
Here's the thing about Sam, and I do have to give him credit for this. He does not die. Sam does not quit. He does not give up.
He goes away and reinvents, Bean.
I am going to tell you, and that's one of the things that's wonderful about the documentary, the Armenian Comedian documentary called Born High, that you learn about him is that he is never deterred. He's not one of these guys who tries it, fails, and says, well, I guess that's not my area. I guess I'm not cut out for that.
Something inside me is bugging me.
Sure.
Yes.
Oh, Sam! How do you? You can't use that language. How many times have you been on the radio? You know better. What is wrong with you? Are you stupid?
He said, I'm stuck in this effing body.
He's the smartest man in the world.
Listen, Sam, I'm sorry to interrupt. Not only did he come in here and swear, and he's been on the radio how many hundreds of times? He's been in this building, I don't know, maybe 50 times in the last 2 years, and he still needed directions to get to the studio. Dave had to walk him in here. It's a guitar.
All right, Sam, you can't say the F word still.
No,
that's still a rule.
Sorry.
Yeah. Why did you do that?
Why? Because I'm tired of this thing that I'm still nobody.
You can be tired of it. That doesn't mean we can put that language on the air. You understand? Yeah. There's a disconnect between those two things.
All right. We were talking about you reinventing yourself. You have come back now as a drum soloist.
That's what it made me started in show business.
Drumming.
Because of the Beatles. I look like Ringo Starr. Hey, why not?
I'm sorry, did you say you look like Ringo Starr?
Yes, damn right.
Okay, all right.
But I have a story to tell you.
I'm sure you do. So,
you know, Elvis Presley impersonator has in North Street a castle look like the Mississippi.
Okay, I don't know what you're saying right now.
Elvis's castle. And I walked in there. I said, I'm the Ringo Starr because all the lookalikes were there as Neil Diamond and Marlboro. Then they all said, oh, my God, and they start taking
All right, let's just pretend that story ended and we all got it.
Listen,
what is the new act that you're doing? You're doing something with numerology and drums?
Yes.
So you're a drum soloist, but you also do numerology?
Singing numerology. For instance, why in 2005 Katrina, pissed on the tsunami people? Because they were writing numbers differently. Is this a 5 or a 2? So the snake eye gave him the heck of the tsunami thing.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Well, numerology. For instance, is this a 1 or a 7? You get confused.
Yes.
That's not numerology.
Hey,
don't. That's bad handwriting is what that is.
No, numerology.
Sam,
okay,
where are you doing?
I have a game. Pick a number in your mind. Don't tell me. Everybody, listen up. The listeners, the participants.
We're not doing magic tricks, Sam.
Wait,
mind freak.
Don't interrupt me. Pick a number and don't tell me.
All right, I've got a number.
Your number times 2.
Okay.
Don't tell me.
All right.
plus 500. Don't tell me.
Okay.
Now divided by 2.
Okay.
Okay.
Minus your number that you were picking before, it will remain 250 to everybody.
Nope, not 250. It's yes, about 250. 172.
No, 250.
Okay, it's 250, Sam.
Yes.
It is that. Right. It's 250.
Before we mercifully take a break out of their misery here, where is this new act on stage? You are performing regularly, I am told.
Yes, I'm performing every Saturday night starting this week. At the Marathon Cafe, South Fairfax. It's around the corner right here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Marathon Restaurant and Cafe, 8 p.m. every Saturday night.
Marathon.
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 Yes.
Wow. I never would have gotten
that. Was Marathon? That's what.
Yes.
Wow.
All right. Marathon
on Fairfax Saturday
it's
night.
It's 104.
All right, Sam, for
South
God's
Fairfax.
Sake.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, you're going to perform some of your act for us, right, Sam?
Absolutely.
Now, have you been working on this? Have you practiced? You got some drums at home? You're working on it and numerology and all that?
I don't need practice.
Don't need practice.
I am already boom, snap right here.
All right. Excellent. We'll talk to you in a second. Your phone calls. Our next Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew is on the air in about 10 minutes. You can call on any topic. We put you on the air. We give you a prize. And we'll do it in just a few.
I'm especially interested if you have any words for Kevin on his choice of booking our guest this hour. Sam, the Armenian comedian, is in the studio with us again this morning here on KROQ. No one knows why, but he's back with a new act that apparently he will debut this Saturday night at 8 o'clock at a place called the Marathon Club or restaurant or bar or something on Fairfax Avenue in Los Angeles.
You know all those contestants on American Idol that come on and they sing and they sound horrible, but you look at them and you go, how do they think that sounds good?
Yeah,
they
have their head, it sounds right.
So much confidence compared to their limited abilities.
Yeah.
That's true. Not the case with Sam at all. He's got a lot of talent and not much confidence.
Sam, what are we going to be hearing from the act here? What do you have scheduled for us today?
Right now I'm playing the flute and the drums at the same time.
Flute and drums at the same time. What's the name of your band?
The Hair Plugs.
The Hair Plugs, okay.
Okay. Yeah. And are you going to be doing an original song, or is this going to be a cover of a song we know?
No, this is it's like a command performance right now, but I have many songs in mind to...
Right, but is this a song you wrote, or is this a song that somebody else wrote?
Psychedelic Heaven.
Psychedelic Heaven is the
name of this one. Okay.
You wrote it.
Now,
okay, it's original.
Will you be either telling jokes or doing any numerology during the playing of the song?
No.
Well, that was the highlight for me. How do you mix drum solos with numerology? That's what
I'm going to sing about how psychology... You know, Heaven? Psychedelic Heaven?
Psychedelic Heaven, yes.
Yeah, that's the song that I'm going to use drum solo and then sing the same time afterwards.
Okay.
But
okay.
I'm going to start... with the drums and then with the flute,
okay.
And then continue with the solo and singing the same time.
Okay, now as you listen to this, I want you to think about all of the really talented, hardworking musicians in Southern California who try their whole lives to get on KROQ. All right, here's Sam, the Armenian comedian, ladies and gentlemen, on the world-famous KROQ.
And before that, can I interrupt you? I'm
Is
the
there
only
any
one
way
doing
to just
it.
Just play. Just play.
All right.
Why do you have to be so hateable? Take your apology now, Bean. I'm happy with that. Oh, not that.
Oh, psychedelic heaven. Oh, psychedelic heaven. When you enter the heaven doors, you're gonna see the God and the all kinds of colorful lands. Colorful land and every kind of day you are talking about.
Hey, Sam.
Hey, Sam.
Have you ever thought of working on lyrics before you came in?
I already wrote this.
You wrote that?
Yes.
So if you were to do it again, it would sound the same.
It would sound the same, but much better because I will have a background guitarist and bassist.
Well, the whole band, of course. Yeah.
Yes,
the whole band rocks with you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I have a bongo.
You do have bongos.
Yes, percussionist.
So you have a full drum set in front of you, but you also need bongos.
Yes.
Okay. You're especially good at that.
What's the concentration on his face?
maybe we're done.
All right.
That was lightning is on the floor in the other studio. Sam, again, you have exceeded.
He's laughing on the floor.
I just
I'm
said
gonna
that.
I'm going to make everybody laugh like this. No. That's my.
But
I'm
that's
a
not
preacher.
Your goal. When you were playing the song, your goal wasn't to make people laugh, was it? I thought you were doing it because you thought the song was good. People would be entertained by your musical ability.
I am all kinds of act, you know, like I do the same kind of thing on the stage, many kinds of things.
Okay.
For instance,
here's
you know,
what I have to figure out on a day like today. Yeah. How much of a beating am I willing to take? So then that translates directly into how long Sam is on.
Because yeah, you need to cut your losses, dude. Seriously, we're already coming at your kneecaps with a baseball bat.
I already need Dave the King of Mexico to start my car.
Yeah, you do.
All right, Sam, good work, man.
Thank you.
I believe we've heard enough.
Entertaining.
I am so happy to be here, guys.
Very, very good performance today.
You know what? I still remember Lightning and being going to Montana, bringing
the good old days, Sam.
Good old days.
You wish we had time to reminisce.
You bring it back to life.
Oh, my.
Don't you wish that?
When will this guy shut up?
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What do you do, nephew?
That is the name of the feature. You call us at 1-800-520-1067. You get on the air, you get a prize. Today, it's a What It Do Nephew t-shirt just for you, plus a copy of Lost, the video game, in the platform of your choice. By the way, Kevin, some choice emails awaiting you. Last show is
a lot of love mail waiting for you at home.
I sent 5 yeah. myself.
A lot of people enjoying the Mark and Brian show right now, I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm.
So you're saying they're thanking me for bringing on Sam.
Oh, yeah, they're thanking you. They want to give you something. I'll tell you what it is, but they definitely want to give you something.
Glad to help you. George in Fullerton, good morning.
Good morning.
What'd it do?
Hey, what'd it do, nephew?
What'd it do, George?
What's going on?
I saw this show about 2-3 days ago. It was on Discovery Channel. It was about a half-human, half-gorilla.
Yes!
Which is pretty much, like, a very controversial topic in terms of, like, religion.
Half-man, half-gorilla.
It's a manrilla.
Yes, correct. Yeah. But it has a lot of human features, like it walks upright, not on all fours like normal chimps do, and also has the bone structure of a human for its skull.
Now, are you suggesting, I haven't seen this show, but are you suggesting that they have found something that is sort of a missing link, something more advanced than a gorilla, but not quite to where humans are?
Definitely. I definitely think it's that missing link. It's not like Bigfoot or any of that crap, but I mean, it's definitely a total evidence of evolution.
Not that we needed any, but is this something that they found a skeleton of, or are you talking about something that they found that's alive today?
No, it's alive today. It's actually in an exhibit in San Antonio, Texas.
They
discovered it in, like, I think it was 1976.
This sounds shaky.
And we've never heard of it?
This sounds shaky to me.
And it fought Muhammad Ali for the world championship.
No, I swear, I know you guys are avid YouTubers, so go on YouTube and look up Oliver the Gorilla.
Oliver the Gorilla.
All right.
We will.
Or put Humanzi.
Humanzi.
Like chimpanzee, but Humanzi.
It's a Humanzi.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. That
you hold on, George.
Been shaky to me, but
is it
okay.
A gorilla or is it a chimpanzee?
To he said half man, half gorilla is what he said.
Yeah, that's a man. It would be a manrilla. It wouldn't be a human.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on with George.
All right. Let's go to Alfredo in Southgate. Good morning, Alfredo.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
Hi, Alfredo.
How you doing? Good. I was just calling you guys talking about the Lakers last night.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Trust me, Psycho Mike, I know.
They are playing so well right now. Are you, Alfredo, like Psycho Mike, angry when you see a Lakers flag on a car?
Am I angry? No. I'm not angry, but, I mean, I don't know why you should be angry, Psycho Mike. I mean, they're just...
What is that? Because I saw one yesterday, and I just thought...
Let me tell you why.
No one's allowed to like the team except for Mike.
No!
His team.
It's because there were no Laker flags in L.A. at all since the Shaq trade until about, beginning of February this year.
Right.
When they got
good again.
Yeah. And now it's everywhere you look. Let's go to a gas station in Southgate. Let's go to the AMPM in Whittier.
Well, there's no motivation to root for a team that sucks.
There should be.
So you think that they should just have the flags year-round?
Yay!
If
go,
you want flags,
badness!
If you want flags, wear your flag proudly and be a Laker fan, or don't be a Laker fan at all. I don't want you to come along now that they're going to be good.
Let me ask you a question.
That doesn't mean they weren't fans before.
Maybe they're just celebrating their turnabout with the flag.
I think this is his theory, though, is that these are not Lakers fans.
They are
I
not.
Think.
Let me go down the list of real Laker fans I know. Fans, guys that I know that are real Laker fans. I don't know Matt Money Smith, Kevin, myself, any of my friends. Never would consider getting a douchebag Laker flag. But every stupid idiot you see driving around in their car.
So it's my way or the highway for you.
No. It's just
there's only one way to be a fan,
be
right?
Be bad. That's all.
Don't be bad.
Thank you.
Dave the King Mexico says there were Bulls fans in Jordan's day. I think these are the swing voters, apparently, that
any team that's
whoever's
successful.
Hot.
I don't see a lot of Suns flags going around or Spurs flags or anybody else's flags.
No, but, okay, about two seasons ago when the Clippers were making a serious run for the first time, they're actually effective and they were going to go far in the playoffs.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the conception of the Clipper flag.
Well, you can hardly blame the Clipper fans for celebrating once their team got decent.
No, but a guy like Dave the King of Mexico, who's been a Clipper fan all his life, even when they were crap, all his life had to deal with it. There was never anything known as the Clipper flag. It's the little car flag is the number one piece of, like, souvenir that is for crap fans. It is the crap fan souvenir.
And you're basing this on...
I'm basing it on words
your personal opinion.
I'm basing it on knowledge from the streets. Pitbology 101, bitch.
We're going to have to take some calls tomorrow from people who have Lakers flags. And
we're going to have to save this for another day, I think. Because I'll save my remarks. Let's talk to Todd on line 7, Kevin. He is from Huntington Beach and is calling about a very, very serious subject today that we addressed on the Kevin Beach. Good morning, Todd. What to do?
What to do, baby boo? What to do, nephew?
Hi, Todd.
What's going on?
First of all, I just want to say that a half man, half beast thing. I can't believe none of you guys ever saw the Rosie O'Donnell show, first of all.
See? Oh. See what you did there?
Yes. Already funnier than Sam was for 30 minutes on our show.
I want to say I'm a Knicks fan, so we can't get into that one. We all know how that's going to turn out.
All right, what are you calling about?
I wanted to say I woke up today when I heard the news. Part of me died today to hear that Patrick Swayze has cancer.
He's very sick. Yeah.
Patrick Swayze growing up, Point Break, the greatest action movie of all time. Because of Patrick Swayze, I am the man I am today. Tonight, my friends and I are going out. We're going to paddle out in the ocean, surf for Bodie. Go get drunk, and of course, do some dirty dancing, all for him.
Sure, come on. All right. That's a plan right there.
Yeah.
I like it.
One for you, one for your homie, man. Good luck.
And get sewn up without any sort of pain-numbing medicine.
Because pain don't hurt?
That's right. Just let them sew you up. Just suture up your shoulder when you're just looking at it, and you don't even have any pain-numbing medication. Yeah. It's awesome.
And Dave? die and have only Whoopi Goldberg be able to talk to you.
That's right.
Dave and Azusa, good morning.
Push a penny up a wall.
What to do, nephew?
What to do?
Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
You know, you guys are all bagging on Kevin, but I think we can get some Armenian comedian music on iTunes whenever you guys want to play Bean's blog. We could just turn the iPod on.
Ah, so you'd rather hear Sam is what you're saying than Bean's blog.
Exactly.
Me too.
Wow. That's saying something.
Wow. Me too.
Have you guys seen the Psycho Mike flag that's on the cars? I think it's just rainbow colored.
Hey!
See what he's in for?
See what he's saying about you?
That wasn't bad.
That wasn't bad.
That was pretty strong.
I like that.
I'm a real Psycho Mike fan, though. I don't have the flag. Because I'm a fan all the time, long time.
You know what? When I see a Lakers flag, it bugs me too. But I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. I look at it, I go, why does that
say how it impinges upon your fandom?
Honestly, I don't know.
Because, Kevin, is it that they only show up so erratically? It's like, it's this thing that seems to, like, go with the tide of the team.
Right.
All other souvenir type stuff. Hats, stickers, shirts, they're just there. And then the flags disappear.
Right, first
the Lakers...
of all, you see a lot more jerseys and stuff being worn when they're doing well.
Sure, everybody wants to promote their team. They're more excited.
So why don't you scream the guys wearing jerseys?
You don't even see these flags ever when they're not succeeding. When the Lakers are barely a first-round team, the flags don't exist. The guys who are selling them go away. The flags get burnt like the McRib when they're not serving it. I don't know what the hell it is with these goddamn flags.
The McRib.
I don't know what the hell it is with you, but we'll revisit that tomorrow. Let's close with Don on line 3 in Fullerton calling about our boy Ralph on the TV last night. Good morning, Don. What'd it do?
What'd it do, all of you?
Nice, Don.
Hi. I was watching TV last night, and I came across this little show called 10 Items or Less.
Yes.
Yeah. And I wasn't really going to watch it, but I started watching it. And what do you know? There was a character, Mr. Cliphouse, and he had the greatest line ever. And Ralph, would you recreate it for me? Could you tell me, trust me, my little churro?
Trust me, my little churro. I know what you're talking about.
Wow.
Take two.
Take two.
That's so good without a script, are you, actor boy?
Actually, there was no script in this show. That's why I couldn't remember the line. Trust me, my little churro. I know what I'm doing.
Oh, thank you very much.
Very
that was
very
awesome.
He was an evil grocery store owner?
I worked for the Super Value Mart, the big chain of grocery stores trying to take over the greens and grains.
And you can tell that he was evil by his goatee?
I had
his
a goatee.
Evil facial hair.
That's how you know I was bad. I had a goatee.
Wow. Ralph, awesome. When will this episode re-air for those of us that did not TiVo it last night?
I don't know.
Okay.
But also, too, Lisa, yes. I think the carpoolers are funny, too.
Thank you very much.
Well, just when I was feeling pretty good about Dawn's review of my performance, she goes and ruins it.
My
she has to shoot
Ralph.
Herself in the foot.
Yeah.
All right, no, Dawn, you're bad. Thank you.
Give her a 10.
All right.
No reason for me to watch 10 items or less now that I know what your system is.
I told you yesterday, Bean, by the way, that it was going to be on.
Yeah.
It was on twice last night. It was on at 8 o'clock and 11 o'clock if you got DirecTV. And now you're asking me when they're going to rerun it?
Yep.
I did not set up to TiVo it last night. I forgot that, you know, I did not think about you, Ralph, after the show ended.
Because I didn't give you enough heads up.
Do you want me to send it to you, Bean?
No. It's okay.
I'll print some DVDs. I'll start distributing them.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of some for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys. I want you to double cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so, yeah, I'm going to take care of them, dude, all right? So I'm going to send you to go make a fake drug deal, all right? I want you to take care of this for me, man, all right? Yeah, you'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty, all right?
Hey, Ralph.
Just take care of this for me, dude, all right? Everything's going to be okay, all right? Say hi to the family for me, okay? Yeah, man. Everything's going to go out smoothly, dude. Double cross. All right, man. I got to go. Later.
It's Omar.
Ralph, why don't you give the other guy a chance to talk?
That's Omar from Cucamonga Heat.
Why don't you let the other grocery store talk? That's what I'm saying.
Omar from Cucamonga Heat.
Who's with me if I suggest that based on the 1-2 punch of the Armenian comedian this hour and then playing the Omar for the 5,000th goddamn time that all of us just get up and walk out right now?
What?
I like
Who's
it.
With me?
Yes.
How dare you?
So done.
What a sucker Kevin is.
What? Ralph! Lisa. Guess Cat's next. She's got a lot of good music. See you tomorrow.